All right, everybody, gather around the mic here. Gather around the mic.
I would if this chair wasn't so short.
I'm going to give it to you straight about the Dizzy Ramblers.
Ayo.
Their comedy is hilarious.
Better than Dad's.
And their opinions are always right. Always. But their careers were nowhere to be found. Then one year, Halloween Dizzy Rambler Month came along and changed the face of all mankind.
Yes.
Freddy.
That's a bold promise there.
Well, I don't think so. That seems to be pretty much what we're going to deliver.
Yeah. Freddy was up first, but he didn't have much in the way of scares. So now it's Jason's turn. Listeners, beware. It's week two of Dizzy Ramblers Halloween month.
Gather, Rambler campers, embrace yourself to hear the story of the retard boy who's now the face of fear. That retard boy was Jason. His mother loved him lots. He went to camp for thrills and fun, but that's not what he got. Yes, the lake is quite breathtaking, especially when you can't swim. The counselors won't be of much help, distracted by their sin. But Jason's mommy makes it right. She kills the kids who don't behave. But when she died, Jason opened his eyes and rose from his watery grave. So if you ever go to Crystal Lake, I'll advise you leave there soon. 'Cause if Jason wakes and finds you there, it's safe to say you're all doomed.
Yeah!
Woo! Wow! This is gonna be fun!
Well done.
This is gonna be a fun night, you guys. Wow. We're back already. It's week two.
Yeah, the Ramblers are back.
Again. It's week two of our Halloween month, dedicated solely and only to the delightful holiday of Halloween. And back with us, returning from last week, in week two.
Returning from the grave.
Returning from the grave. From week two of his 3-week guest hosting stint, Richard A. Puppet Master Lester.
It's with us again. You know, it only feels like it's been about 3 days. It's amazing.
That's what we do. I'm John Shaw.
I'm Sam Bear.
This is Brett Trail.
And that's one candle that won't light.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, we're having trouble getting our spooky heart-shaped candle to light tonight. But we do have our Rambler Pumpkin.
Yay!
And it has new names in it, a lot more than last week. And it is ready to go. Ready to do best costume picks of 2013.
Oh my
ready
God.
To do scary, spooky, haunting, chilling story hour.
Woo! The pumpkin's gonna give me a seizure.
This week, we are doing Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Sam's favorite
series. Oh, the first one? That's amazing. I love that movie.
No siree, Bob. We are doing Friday the 13th, part 6. Jason Lives.
Oh.
Richard, it's
Richard,
the best of the series.
Whoa! I didn't realize you were a hater.
A fan favorite.
Hey,
it is a fan favorite.
You know what? There's been so many. When we watch this movie, I just saw it like a couple weeks ago. When we watch this, I'm just gonna keep on elbowing everyone around me the whole time. Whenever anything sweet happens,
a gem, a
so
gem
so
of
good.
The Friday the 13th series, I would say. Brett Trail in the building. What would you say, sir, about the sixth movie?
I mean, I know the movie, but I really don't remember which one I'm getting into.
Okay,
I'll remember when it starts happening, but I'm looking forward to it either way.
Look forward to some broad comedy.
Oh my gosh.
Is number 4 the one with little Corey Feldman?
You yeah. bet, okay. yes.
Yeah. This
yes.
is not all grown up Corey Feldman.
Who's no, he's not. It's a different guy, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
The guy from Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah, Return of the Living Dead.
That's true, I forgot that.
Tom yeah. Matthews.
Thom, yeah. isn't it?
I mean,
Thom Matthews.
I don't yeah, know why
he
I that
he plays him because the guy who played the role of Tommy in the fifth one actually retired and went to seminary. and he actually considered coming back for the sixth one, even though he objected to some of the material in the fifth one, because of, like, apparently at one point Jason like, didn't kill a girl who was praying in the script of the sixth one, and he was drawn to that of the movie and considered coming back, but he did some other movie instead at the end of the day.
Probably,
and then,
like, Red Shoe Diaries Part 4.
Something. And then he retired after that movie or whatever and went to seminary.
Well, that's too bad. The acting community is a little bit poorer without that guy exactly. who played Tommy.
Did he only say, like, five words in the fifth one? Yeah.
Oh, this is the one where he's just, like, staying with, like, a foster family. And
he's just
a total dick.
That's part five, the greatest one of all.
Okay. Yeah.
They were paying him by the word. He thought that would be good to get in his contract.
It was,
And they were like, we'll show you, you bastard.
And he was like, that's it, I'm going back to God. Sucking that guy's dick to get this job wasn't worth it.
Exactly.
Yeah, this
so
one's
clean.
This one's interesting, and just for the listeners, admiration or whatever, yeah. Yeah, Sam, please do that. This one basically is, it's interesting. Last week we watched Freddy's Dead, and then this week we're watching Jason Lives, which this was them resurrecting Jason. This is the first Friday in which he's a all-in-all supernatural force zombie.
The first time he's slow, too. Like, in every movie before this.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, Jason's always, moving as fast as a hillbilly would.
Took six films before he became a supernatural zombie. Makes you wonder what the hell he was doing those last few films.
Essentially, what happened
was...
Well,
he wasn't in the one before this.
In part four, the final chapter, Corey Feldman...
You should have said spoiler for Sam.
Anyone who's listening to this already knows there's a bona fide spoiler alert before every episode. And we should post something about that on the website. Our apologies.
Right. Oh, by the way, on Breaking Bad finale.
Oh, my word.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so Corey Feldman, and only Corey Feldman, was capable of killing Jason the first time. So he killed him in part four for good. Yeah, exactly.
He got into his head.
Five was... I don't
agree the person did before.
Five, I don't want to spoil anything, but it was basically an imposter, and...
I don't want to spoil anything, so keep listening.
I don't
want to
tell you how bad it sucks, but so I'll just tell you what happened at the end.
It's so good.
The fifth one is actually, I think it's pretty good. I think the fifth one's a fun one.
Richard, the fifth one is my second favorite.
Yeah, Sam loves the fifth one. It's one of his favorites. His second favorite, apparently. The legend says second favorite.
I'd like to do my entire Richard talk shit about the Dizzy Rambler segment just on that comment alone.
Is that a segment?
I suggested it to him. And so the sixth one, we also watched the sixth Friday, or sixth Elm Street, and that was coming to an end. Friday was just getting started, baby. Jason is resurrected here. He's brought back from the dead. Mm-hmm. Only Tommy, who started being played by Corey Feldman, then was played by a mute born-again Christian. Then he's played by this guy, who is probably my favorite Tommy of the three. And
what happened to that guy? Where's he at these days?
Who cares? He's probably missing.
I thought I saw him in a milk carton back in 89.
He fell into a ravine.
I'll admit, the first time I saw this, I was like, that's not the best. It's all right. But, like, with the second time around, I was like, whoa, that's a really good movie. Something about it, like, it's fun. It's a fun Friday. And it's also an enjoyable original approach to it.
It does, like, everything that the other Friday the 13th movies don't do, like... There's actually kids at the camp.
This is the only one when it's not a prologue or a flashback that there are kids at the camp.
Yeah, which is pretty crazy. There's out of all the Friday the 13th movies, none of them have kids actually being at the camp while the story's happening, which I think is such a wasted potential.
What I would actually, I think would be great if, especially after the first one, if like somebody forgets to tell the kids they're not supposed to like come up that weekend, so a busload of kids pulls up as they're like hauling off the decapitated bodies of all these dead naked teenagers. You know,
that's really funny.
I think that'd be a great ending. That should happen after like the credits to one of them or something.
Oh yeah, that'd be nice. And like while the credits are rolling. Exactly.
And these kids are coming up. Oh my God!
Now I will say, and I'll be trash talking this more later. This is like the least, or really the only one in the series without nudity.
Yeah,
and
I think
that's
you see,
shame.
You kind of see a guy's balls at one point. I'm pretty sure.
What does that?
Well, except for Sam and his ball alarm.
I'll be elbowing you for that one, Brett. Don't worry. Brett in the teeth.
It has sex in it, but it's not nudity that the Friday fans expected and wanted. And it's weird because like the director, 86. The director specifically steered away from that because he said something, some quote about him not wanting it to be thought of as like everyone who had sex got killed or something. I don't know. Fuck him. But I will have good things to say about this director probably.
No,
he does a great job. Yeah. He does a great job, and I've got trivia I want to talk about with this movie.
Wow.
I've got, we've got a lot of, if anyone who listened the first week knows that we've got spooky Halloween-y things coming up, and we're going to be talking about that, Halloweenies.
We're going to roast our Halloweenies.
We're going to be grilling Brett's wiener. on a George Foreman grill. We're going to be grilling Richard Lester in the trail tank. We're going to put Richard Lester in the trail tank.
Oh, no! Look out for the Shawshank next week.
Oh, it's getting hot in here.
Shawshank Redemption.
But seriously, I can't wait to dive into this Rambler Pumpkin again and reach my little hand in there. I want us all to get in on the Rambler Pumpkin this time around. We'll make up segments just to reach in the Rambler
Pumpkin.
We're going
to gang bang this pumpkin.
That's how determined they're... Because in all honesty, there's like 12 names in here.
Holy shit.
So we've got to come up with some fucking reasons to reach in that pumpkin.
How many other people are in this room?
Well, there's Trickster in the sound booth over there. Trickster, how you doing today?
Oh, hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Trickster.
Let's go ahead and get him out of the way. We're going to bring him back.
I agree. Let's get him out of the way. Yeah.
I got a memo or an email or something about like some segment, Trickster's Treats, that you're doing on Halloween. What's that about?
Yes, I am.
I know.
You won't believe what Trickster has up his sleeve.
I just won't. Richard just sat back in his seat because that's how disinterested he is in this segment. He'll have nothing to contribute.
No, I was just doing my Jason impression for later on in the segment.
Trickster, is that going to be at the pyramid?
No,
you're
going to
be doing the Trickster's Treats?
I told you last week, guys, we don't have the fucking time during our pyramid show to fit Trickster's Treats into that episode, alright?
Oh, did he already talk about this?
Yeah. What if, like, he keeps trying to crowbar in there and be like, he's handing out memos.
I remember schedule every week.
I remember you mentioning a party or something you were doing, but I don't remember you specifically bringing any segment to the table or even, like, really saying anything.
Well,
I remember you getting blown by Freddy, and then...
I'm having the big monster bash.
Well, that's too bad. We're going to be having a big... big party of the pyramid, so you can do your tricks.
No, I understand, but phone me in because I printed out the schedule already. We got all the topics of discussion really figured out, perfect, exactly where they need to be. And Trickster's Treats fits in there just perfectly.
Well, where are you?
No,
hold on a second. Where are you doing your stupid party? Is that like Colleryville or something?
No, it's at my uncle's haunted mansion.
That sounds so stupid.
Yeah,
no, it's incredible. He's out of town, and me and the Wolfman, and by that I mean Drew Wolfman Smith, and all the other ghouls will be there.
All the other ghouls, by which you mean, like, the Gruesomes from the Flintstones?
I don't know them, but I'm sure they're invited. If with a name like that, my forwarding email machine definitely.
You gonna be watching any movies or anything this Halloween? Trickster.
I don't care. Who cares? F you, Trickster.
T Rider Trickster. Answer. What Halloween tricks do you have up your sleeve?
Oh, you better believe we'll be watching Brain Scan.
Is that the only Halloween movie that you pull out? You just have to watch your own. I Filmed Your Death.
Yeah, because the pyramid will be projecting the new Beyonce movie for our pyramid.
Jason Lives, have you seen it? Are you a fan? Were you a little tot? Did you go to the theater?
No, I'm much more fan of watching Brain Scan in Espanol.
Well, you're a delight. As always, you're a delight. Trickster in the sound booth.
Bye!
He's skateboarded back into the booth there.
My phone would charge me way too much for like the traveling rates on getting that phone call to Trickster.
Island.
Yeah, that's stupid. I'm not going to do that. So.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, no. You know what? Next week, because I wouldn't dare call him out of that booth again today.
Please, your voice down.
Remind me to ask him what he's going to. Remind me what. Sit down. Remind me to ask him what he's going to dress up for Halloween this year, because I think that's like an important question. That
what he dresses up every fucking day, like
surely he's not going to dress up as T Rider Smythe again, is he?
I think he's got a dog outfit picked out this year.
He should go as Gene Simmons.
Ooh, yeah.
I think that'd be good. Gene Simmons.
Speaking of dog outfits.
He should go with a guy with a vagina for a mouth. Oh, and he already is. That fucking pussy lip.
Man, speaking of dog outfits, I don't know if it'll be...
The character design for the Trickster is so disturbing, and it's really upsetting having to stare that guy in the face every day, being like some Hollywood phony, just like designed this and thought like, oh, I'll never have to see this again, but I'm just like looking at it now, you know?
Sam, this is important.
Like a vagina.
This is important. It's so important. We're gonna be
chickens down in my throat.
I don't know whether it'll be this week or next week, because I haven't reached in the Rambler Pumpkin and drawn out my name yet. Mm. But I can't wait to do my Halloween costume picks this year. Like, it's gonna, I don't know, it'll entertain, it'll delight, it'll please, it'll satisfy.
But will it titillate?
I like to think that everything I say on this podcast titillates people, Richard.
Especially when you get really close to the microphone and drop your voice down really low.
Especially when I get really close to the microphone and really tickle the mic with the sound waves of my palate.
That was very erotic for all of us.
I think the table just went up a little bit where Brett was sitting.
The trickster's standing up.
I'm eager to watch this, but I wanted to say for the record going into this, I hope, Richard, that you're going to have a fun time and you're going to realize that this is the gem that you've been searching for in the Friday series that's a fun movie to watch.
Jim as in Jim of the Holograms, I think, is what you're talking about.
G-E-M. G-E-M, Richard. Brett,
look into the Rainbow Pumpkin.
I think you're going to enjoy this. I think you're going to enjoy this. Although I thought you'd enjoy Freddy's Dead, and you like took a huge shit all over that and my yard.
But this is actually like a good movie. Freddy's Dead's like such a piece of shit.
It's funny that like most of the time I would go Elm Street over Friday, like pretty much any day of the week. But when it comes to the quality of the movie, Freddy's Dead versus Jason Lives, Friday 6, I would definitely go with Friday
because
this movie, it's fun and it's also kind of creepy. It's not like, it's kind of a little over the top at times, but I think the characters do a good job, and they're actually interesting, and you, like, actually know who's who, and, like, what's happening in these people's lives. So
our old friend Alice Cooper might just pop by.
So I'll keep at least one eye open.
Keep at least one ear open, because he may have made the theme song to this movie.
Oh. Well, just maybe. Does he sing the song from Monster Dog?
The Vincent Raven song?
Yeah.
My only regret is that Seth Green and Martin Mull from Dads aren't here to watch this spooktacular
to
feature.
New Lives.
But yeah.
Giovanni Ribisi's like prowling around your refrigerator.
seriously.
He's just listening to Tiffany though.
Well, we're not even halfway done yet, and I'm already like, you know, like I said, I love the season of Halloween. I can't wait to come back from the break and talk about Halloween, talk about the movie, talk about all these fun, crazy, spooky segments we have. And I can't wait for Richard A. Lester to throw his 2 cents in.
Oh, I got a nickel here for you, buddy.
But seriously, I'm ready to take Jason Lives for a Halloween spin.
Let's take it for a spin.
Let's take it for a Halloween-y spin.
Yeah, what they said.
Spin.
I'm Richard A. Lester, and I want to take this movie for a spin.
I would rather be watching The Puppet Master, Part 6.
Well, once we're up to year 45 of this podcast, we can do The Puppet Master.
Is there a cool tag name for Part 6? Like, it's about to get puppety.
Yeah, exactly.
Puppet time.
This time
puppet
it's
town.
This time it's puppeter.
That's a spin. We have a spin.
Houston, we have a spin. Come on in. Everybody come to the show. Shorts and shows and much more with all our friends. With the dizzy fucking ramblers, now it's time for the show to commence. Alright, what's everybody's favorite Halloween candy?
Oh, man. I feel pumped. That movie was awesome. That was good.
It was
incredible. Richard!
That was fair to middling.
Son of a bitch! How could you even enjoy a Friday the 13th movie if you don't enjoy that one?
Actually, you know what? It's a pretty solid movie. There's just a few little parts here and there that I kind of have issues with. But it's not that bad.
He loved it!
4-star review, each of us being a star. a lot of things I love about the movie, guys. A lot of things I love about this Halloween October season. And a lot of things I love about talking with you guys. So it'll be a fun night for me.
This is going to be a fun, spooky night.
Mostly because they just watched Dads.
We warmed up to Friday by watching the second episode of Dads, which had to do with pop brownies.
We should have watched that before we watched Nightmare on Elm Street Part 6.
I'll be hiding in the fridge later.
It would have made Nightmare on Elm Street look a lot better.
Yeah, Dads is a show that's unbelievably unfunny. But the audience finds it hilarious.
Yeah, it's like the Arsenio Hall show.
Woo, 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 woo.
There's a lot of things I like about that movie, Richard. Like, there's so many references and things like that kind of make it. So many things they don't normally do in Friday the 13th movies. Like, they actually say Camp Blood, which I don't think they've said since, like, Part 2 or something like that. It takes place on Friday the 13th.
It's one of the few to take place on Friday the
13th. Yeah, it's the first one since part two, I believe, that actually takes place
so.
On Friday
I think you're
the 13th. So I think
Happy
that's pretty
Friday
awesome.
The 13th, everyone!
It's so cool when he says that, because they used to be on this Friday the 13th website back in, like, 2001, where every time you signed on, it would be like, Happy Friday the 13th. Love that. Keeping it, Brett. I'm in this shit.
What did everybody else like about this movie?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got derailed by, Sam awkwardly ended his conversation and made me think of a scene from Dad's, where the scene just cut out of nowhere.
Would this
for no
word
reason.
Dad's, I could just fade right out of here right now.
Much like it will after three more episodes.
I hope so.
That's another thing I like about this movie, you fuckers. I like that it's
basically...
I have
fucked before, so yes.
We no, I just love the fact that it's so, like, universal monster feeling. Like, he gets...
Well, from
back.
The resurrection by lightning.
Yeah, it's like, he's like Frankenstein. Then when he's, like, going around the countryside, he's, like, the Wolfman or, like, Frankenstein's monster.
In fact, if you look on the convenience store that Tommy is at the payphone at, it's called Karloff's.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there really are homages out the wazoo.
This one to me is... And I told Sam this. I pulled Sam to the side. After we were finished watching the movie, we had a
he
little quick
crying,
break.
He was crying, by the way.
Yeah, we had a quick break, and I had some Kleenex, and it was teared up, and I pulled Sam to the side, and I was like, Sam, this Friday is the most 80s of all the Fridays, and I couldn't contain the waterworks were going.
I know, you peed all over my floor, your water broke.
But I believe that I stand by that. This one to me, I think, is
like
the most...
is more
80s. This and the 8th one are like the most 80s, but both of the... Like, this one's a better movie than Part 8, though.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So,
why is number 7 not so 80s?
Well, it's just, Brett, you'll understand whenever we watch it in 4 to 7 years.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned, audience. Because we will be viewing every Friday over the next 29 years. Yeah. It'll be the future. We'll be projecting our thoughts through the mic to the viewers' homes. So it'll be like we're there with them holographically. Because of,
I mean, if they pay the extra
hologram fee. Technology will be so progressed by then that, you know, who knows what will happen. The world will be different.
The president
will be a hologram.
Yeah, I mean, I really do wish we had holograms or just some sort of video, you know, visual medium for our wacky antics that go on here in the studio.
Oh,
like,
for real.
Like, I mean, for the audience who can't see us, like, you know, Sam is consistently juggling throughout.
He's been juggling that pumpkin all night long. He's been juggling my affection for years.
But it's something, it really is, like, I trained for it for about 3 years at Juilliard. I take my juggling seriously, and I want it to be a fun experience for you guys, so it's just kind of like my gift to you while we're doing this.
What if there's a hologram of, like, Jason, like, just popping up random places, and, like, people were like, oh, Jason, and, like, you're like, oh, wait, it's a hologram, but for, like, 2 seconds, you'd be like, ah, I'm fucking dead. And it was just like a random like game that people played with each other in the city or something.
Are you talking about Jason Priestley?
Yeah, I guess it could be
Jason. How would these holograms look? Would they be like very blue?
Very
like,
realistic looking.
That'd be terrible.
Like Tupac.
That'd be horrible. That'd be the worst thing in the world. Like,
why would that be the worst thing in the world? You
because,
wouldn't want to
like,
get
I mean,
scared?
Because, you know, like accidents on the street. Like, you know, like, Jason would be in the middle of the street and, like, cars would swerve and, like, you know, hit
It's Friday
people.
The 15th, Brett. Everyone's entitled to
it. But, Brett, keep in mind we're living... Brett, keep in mind we're living in a world where this is something that is real. So, like, give it a little bit of a fantasy. Like, come on. We're not, like, hard-boiled laws here. Anyway.
Well, you wake up and you might find yourself in the trail thing. Sir.
So, I want to... Uh-oh. Well, okay, yeah. Someone's going to get in the trail tank before the end of the night, and I don't want it to be me. I don't want it to be me.
Whoever it is, I hope they never
I don't want it to be me.
All I can do is divert the conversation. All I can do is divert the conversation to back to...
I want
Brendan
to get in the trail tank.
This is Tommy's... final appearance in the series, and Tommy is basically...
But why? Why didn't he make it...
I don't know.
Because he sucks. He's
no,
the worst.
Tommy's all right.
He's
Tommy's
a meathead. He looked like a fucking slug.
Tommy's an interesting character.
He's a worm-based idiot.
Basically, in the 5th one...
He's better looking than Corey Feldman was at this point, though.
In the 5th one...
Yeah, Corey would have been cool.
The 5th one, Tommy set up to be the killer at the end. Spoiler alert.
What?
And they basically retconned that because it was unpopular, and they wanted Jason back, and so... That's just like, I guess, like a dream or whatever. And
they've never done anything like that before.
Well,
the boy, Jason, in the lake.
I like how there was an echo of that with Jason coming out and grabbing him from the lake. That was sweet.
That was kind of nice. Yeah.
What's interesting is that this is the first positively reviewed Friday since, like, the original one, in terms of, like, not being completely negative reviews. This is the only one but since the first one that had any positive reviews at all. And I thought that was interesting because, like, I don't know, the Friday series is notorious for being, like, hated by critics.
Yeah.
And the fact that this one is one of the few that had some positive reviews was like, okay. I was like, that gives me hope for something.
What makes this one different? I mean, there's still lots of gore, which I'm sure they had to cut back.
Yeah, they did.
There's no nudity, which...
We'll get to that.
But, I mean, aside from that, like, it's a Jason movie. And in fact, this one is slightly more ridiculous than some of the other ones. But I guess it's self-referential, and they wink at the audience. So maybe that's what critics responded to.
I love how they had, like, breaking the fourth wall a couple times with the audience. That was awesome.
I love Jason's monologue halfway through. It was pretty amazing.
Oh, my gosh. So they were going to actually bring
a couple... tears in the rain.
They were going to bring a couple characters from 5 back in this one, like, kill them off. They didn't because
nobody cared.
Because everyone hated 5 at the time, and so
due to complete lack of interest.
Yeah, they decided to just start afresh and start anew, and
probably a good idea.
All right, so I love this movie. I love it, and I think we've established Sam loves it, and Brett, you love it, right?
Yeah,
you ate it up. Richard, you were like all right on it, but did you guys?
I enjoyed it. I didn't love it, but I enjoyed it.
Okay. There is something we do need to address. The big negative aspect is it's the one Friday movie with no nudity, and this is the time of the show. I hate to bring everyone down, but we might as well get it out of the way early because I don't want to bring any spirits low as the show goes on. But we got to dish out a Rambler shame, shame, shame on Friday Part 6, just in the sense that it has no nudity, and it's a Friday movie, and there's no reason for that.
There's no reason for that.
Yeah.
So all of us have to give is shame, shame, shame,
shame.
And that's all we'll say about it, because that's all it deserves. That's all it deserves. It's just a little one. It's just a little slap on the wrist.
Part 8 doesn't have any either.
We'll have to dish one out that year, too, then.
It's a shitty movie, though, so that is...
No. Richard, when we watch Part 8...
Boat? Are you kidding me? And then he goes onto that other boat...
Richard.
We drive that boat?
Richard, party.
Oh, wait, hey, guys. What about the guy driving
Hold on. Richard, Part 8 is, when we get to it, it's going to be a fun movie. It's another great 80s Friday movie, and it's just fun. The song in it. The song, Richard.
I look forward to doing that one 5 years from now. So
it'll be 22.
Yeah, is this going to be a tradition? Is Richard going to sit in every single... Brett, you had a question.
Driving the house, right?
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hey guys, what about Courtney? Huh? He was pretty cool. Remember when he was driving?
The dude who drove that motor house thing?
Yeah, the whole time he just like kept turning the radio up and was being like, "Man, this is the best night of my life."
So
that was pretty awesome, huh?
I was confused by him. Was he, John? You've researched this movie.
Yeah.
Was he definitely the love child between John Travolta and Ralph Macchio? What did your research say?
I got the
DNA test back.
Well, I didn't hear anything about that.
I'm pretty sure Tony Danza is his uncle, though.
I could see that.
I did read that they switched Jasons after the first day of shooting, though. That they didn't like the way the first guy moved, and they kept the shots they got with him, which was him killing. Correct. But they kept the shots they got with him. Which was him killing the paintball executives.
I thought you meant Courtney.
So
like Courtney.
Hello, Brett.
He's like Egyptian walking. Like, doing that.
He was originally played by Eric Stoltz, and then they replaced him by that guy.
They shot with him for 8 weeks.
God damn it, not again!
No, so they switched Jason up the first day. His only scenes are in the movie, which are the paintball executive death scenes, which that's cool. But anyway...
I thought that's my least favorite part of this whole movie.
It is a little weird.
The way he's moving...
Exactly.
The first time I saw it, that scene was my least favorite. Definitely.
I was totally thrown off by the way Jason moved in that scene. It just didn't affect me the right way.
Well, anyway, the rest of the movie is played by C.J. Graham, who, whatever, he was
C.J. Graham, man, that dude... Right there, I think he's made a bigger name for himself than Kane Hodder or Robert Englund. Or when you think Jason, you think C.J.
When I hear C.J. Graham.
C.J. Graham.
When I hear C.J. Graham, I think names like T. Rider Smith and
Man, when I think CJ Graham, I just want to dip a graham cracker in some honey and call it like
night, you know? Sam, I saw you getting a little, I noticed we're still talking about the movie, but I saw you getting a little fidgety with that pumpkin, that Rambler pumpkin that's been
singing. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, man, I can't wait for this. What is it?
Honestly, you guys didn't hear that?
What?
What?
Like, you're not, this isn't sort of a prank or something? You didn't hear that song coming out of the pumpkin a few minutes ago?
What? Was it that song that played at the end of Jason Lives? That awesome Alice Cooper song that conveniently was in Freddy's Dead also? We have an Alice Cooper theme continuing. I wonder if it'll pop up in whatever Halloween movie we dare to watch.
Whatever we dare.
We sure wouldn't dare to watch the sixth one and watch 666 of all that these franchises. That could curse us forever and ever.
You know, the very first CD I ever owned was by Alice Cooper.
What was it?
Hey Stupid. That was the very first thing I owned on CD.
It was by Alice Cooper.
Does Alice Cooper Alice Cooper play the Howard Stern radio DJ wannabe in Halloween 6?
Yeah, they tried to get Howard. Oh, we'll save that.
We'll save it. Whatever we were about to say would chill you to the bone.
The fourth or fifth album I got was Alice Cooper's greatest hits.
See? We like some Alice Cooper right here. He's the Prince of Darkness.
I did love that one song by him.
Sure.
On the credits of, what was that movie? Jason Lives Freddy, the 13th Part 6.
That's right. Not Puppet Master.
Unfortunately.
Oh my god, Sam's turning into the Rambler Pumpkin over there.
Sam just turned orange. And pooped his pants.
Yeah. I'm saying, for the love of Christ, we've got to address this fucking pumpkin, okay? Because it's
Fourscore and...
pumpkin years ago.
Sam, I mean, you were the one who was like,
what are we doing with this pumkin?
What do I draw from this pumpkin?
Just reach in and pull something out. We'll see what happens.
Don't read it yet, though, because we've got to establish
what it is. I don't know. I think we should just pull one out and see what happens. It's a Skittles wrapper. Oh, man.
Everybody got Skittles. Pumpkin, you piece of shit. All right.
This is our most exciting podcast ever.
What could possibly come out of
that? I'm wrist deep in a pumpkin right now, Richard. What do you call that? Oh my god.
Oh god, what does that say? Oh god, what does that say?
Come up with a category. Which category is it going to be in?
What category, John?
Wait, are you for real? You really pulled out one of our names?
He pulled out a name.
I think he pulled out his own name.
Okay, well, I wasn't prepared, but I guess, I don't know, what do you guys want to do?
I'm kind of itching for, the scary story.
Scary story, huh?
Yeah.
You think we're not conveying a creepy enough tone from our chatter of Jason Lives and you want to get people fucking creeped out for a second?
Or do you think that would be better for the Halloween one?
Well, someone still has a scary story left.
Oh, yeah, that's right, we all have to do that, don't
Both
we?
Sam and Brett have really a scary story.
I'm going to have a great story for you guys.
Wait, well, Sam, you pulled the name out and you already looked at it, so is it you?
Hey, announce the category and we'll find out.
Okay, well, let's...
standing on ceremony here.
Maybe we have to filibuster about this.
Okay.
Let's shut this
whole thing down. This podcast is shut down, that's it.
Do we have any,
solve problems.
Are we going to pull from the pumpkin again today?
No, well, this was the last time.
Like, do we get two pumpkin pulls?
I feel like we'll get eight pumpkin pulls.
Do you want to save the scary story for a little deeper into the podcast and do something else?
I'd like to.
Okay, I feel the same. Now, what...
Do something.
What is our other options?
The costumes. The goddamn costumes.
We're doing the costumes.
We're doing costumes. We're doing costumes right now.
Right? Everybody
costumes. On a very special episode of the Dizzy Ramblers, here comes the costumes.
Jason Voorhees.
You asshole! That was our cue to bring out Jason.
I pulled the name Jason Voorhees. Well, it sounds like Jason.
Now we can't do any more pumpkin because we have to. The rule was by Trickster in the code book that we have to invite Jason.
So then Jason should come out. Then we should just bury Jason finally and put him at the bottom of the lake after this segment, right?
I guess.
Move on to more Halloween related things.
No, you're right.
Didn't the Trickster just wear a hockey mask?
I don't know. Is Jason here?
Yeah, Jason's here.
Is Jason? Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Voorhees. That was him saying hello, ladies and gentlemen.
I really like that mask. He's wearing the part 3 one with the axe mark in it.
Yeah, ooh, so sweet. Why wasn't there an axe mark in the part 6 one?
There was, you can see.
There was.
Wasn't there, Jason?
Oh, thank you for cleaning that up. Thank you, okay.
He didn't really nod or shake his head, he just kind of turned his head to the side a little bit and stared at us.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
I'd just like to thank Jason for not killing us instantly. What's it like working in the woods? I mean, most of the time you guys film these things like in the middle of like, you know, November or something, right? So do you ever get cold? Do you ever get, you know, tired or anything like that?
Yeah, it's just usually like a jumpsuit or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it looks pretty cold sometimes in these things. That's interesting. Huh. Now, he says he wears thermal underwear underneath, and he's got those little hand warmers that you put in your pockets.
No, those things are pretty
Yeah, slick. So, yeah. Huh. That's pretty good.
I usually have one in my pants every single time we do this podcast.
Yeah.
Warm me up right
now. Yeah, a little pocket warmer goes a long way.
Sterilizing myself as we speak.
That's good. So, Jason, let me ask you one more question. So what was it like working with world's famous Court? The man went on to, you know, as we all know, he went on to some wonderful starring roles. He has taken the internet by storm. He has been on television, other films.
He and Al Gore basically invented the internet together.
I mean, this man is everywhere now. Everywhere.
Like, he basically courted the nation.
I mean, a day does not go by without me hearing somebody talking about Court. And a lot of people don't even remember him from this film. He's gone on to such heights. Does he still call Jason?
I'd venture to say no one remembers him from this film, Richard.
I would agree with that. So does he call? You know, do you stay in touch? I mean, do you ever get invited over to his house for parties?
I mean, the world's got such court mania right now. I imagine, like, he'd kind of be a dick and
But does he remember his roots? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no.
Does Court remember his roots?
Yeah, you ever party or do karaoke with Court?
Cocktails, even? Well, that's unfortunate. I mean, you know, some people let fame and fortune go to their head. It's just a sad thing. You know? Sad thing.
Well, Jason, this was a good movie.
Yeah, a much better movie than people give it credit for.
Yeah.
I'll agree with
that. But I'm glad in recent years it's gotten a following among fans and it's a favorite.
A fan favorite.
Fan favorite. Thank God for DVDs and cable television for creating this as a fan favorite.
Agreed.
Speaking of fans, the director was obviously a fan. Was his name Tom McLaughlin?
Yes.
And
was he in Twin Peaks?
He wrote and directed it. It was an interesting. It felt very fanboyish to me, even though in recent years he's only directed TV movies. I like to think that there's an artist somewhere hidden inside.
I mean, it's a really well directed movie. I think I could go on for years about this movie.
What strikes me about this movie is it almost kind of has a Halloween 4 feel to it, you know, in the 80s kind of slasher.
It has an 80s Halloween sequel.
It's got that. It really does, which is not a bad thing at all. Honestly, it's got the
love it.
It's a little more contained, I think, as a story, you know, to just a few sets, but they get a lot of value out of those sets. And for the most part, I think the characters are interesting. I think. This is definitely a more memorable batch of disposable teenagers than some of the other films.
Definitely.
And there's a lot of interesting kills, too, with like the guy getting his back snapped
great
in
kills.
Half. And like yeah. A lot of people get their heads crushed.
That's true.
Great moments, great stunts, great visual effects.
And hey, John, what does this have that most of the other films do not have since part one? No, they didn't even have them in part one.
Kids. Fucking kids running around.
There's kids in this one.
I really wish some of those kids got killed, though. That would really set it apart.
That'd be a little dark.
it would have definitely taken it to another level of a horror movie.
Yeah, but I don't think in 86 you were really allowed to be dark. I think you had to camp it up a little bit. That was a Reagan policy.
Well, I don't like my Friday the
13th. It's very, very dark. Suddenly he was... Catherine Hepburn.
Nancy should have got it, though.
Well, you know, the director...
Nancy loved witchcraft.
What?
She did a seance after Ronald Reagan died to try to contact him. Did you know that?
The chick who played Nancy?
Oh, no. Nancy Reagan.
Oh, no. No, I was talking about Nancy
little girl
from the movie. Yeah, she should have.
That took a weird turn.
Oh, that's crazy.
Ronald Reagan did die.
That's wild.
Yeah, he's been dead a while.
Wild... thing to hear.
Yeah.
I wish Nancy died.
Hey, wait, guys. Can we totally deviate for just a second? Can we have a seance to see if we can get in touch with Ronald?
We've already had we've had too many seances on the podcast.
No, I think we
let's
should.
Do it. No,
come on.
Reagan lives.
We gotta melt down that.
This was made during the time
though.
Of Reagan. Let's see if we can get in touch with Reagan.
Hey, pull a name out of the Rentler pumpkin to see who we try to contact.
Hey, there you go.
Ronald Reagan better be on there.
So can we at least like point a flashlight?
Sam, do it close to the mic so the audience can hear you actually in the Rambler Pumpkin.
We're not bullshitting you here, folks.
We're really not. He's really raising his hand to the Rambler Pumpkin with names hidden inside.
It's not just theater of the mind.
And we're not, you know, this is totally not rigged.
God damn it.
Who'd you pull out?
Trickster.
Please. Well, let's cancel the seance.
Yeah.
Me.
Richard, good
call. Okay, I'll save it for us. You guys, I suck.
Great Trickster impression.
Thanks, thank
That's
you.
Great. Hey, I almost got killed earlier for doing that.
And the Trickster's standing up.
No, sit down for the last time.
Trickster, I'd let you come out, but I have to talk about how the movie was filmed in Georgia.
See, that's, Georgia. That's one thing. For me, a big part of these movies, and this is just so dorky, but I really do love these movies. A big part is like the setting, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of them look like New Jersey or Connecticut or like, you know, the sort of New England or Northeast area. And I really have a problem with some of them that are shot, like, in the South, and they just don't look at all like that at all. But I think this one actually does a really good job of not looking like it's... I mean, Part 7 looks like it's in, like, a mud hole, basically.
I think they really pull off... I think they really have a lot of consistency, even between this one and even parts of 7, too. I think a little bit look like... It looks similar enough, you know, I mean...
With the dock and everything?
Yeah. I think that it works well enough. I mean, to probably be filmed, like, 800 miles away.
Mm.
I think they do a decent job of continuation. Mm. Continuity.
It's got a lot better continuity than some...
Continuity, as some people might call it in the business.
Continuity.
Continuity.
The director, Tom McLaughlin, he directed 4 episodes of the Friday the 13th series. Ooh. He also directed the second episode of Freddy's Nightmares.
Hey!
The infamous episode no one remembers.
So, does anybody remember either of those shows?
Well,
remember
me and Sam watched a few random Freddy's Nightmares, which were terrible, and then, like, the pilot's good.
The pilot's great, yeah.
Yeah. I actually used to watch both of those shows on television as they aired, both the Friday the 13th and the Freddy's Nightmares.
Really? What years did they come out?
Were Friday's good?
I actually enjoyed the Friday the 13th TV series.
You loved them, Richard?
How disappointing was it when you found out that it wasn't about anything to do with Friday the 13th?
Actually, what was interesting is when I first saw, you know, the TV show, I was like, oh, this is going to be totally cool. And for a second, it was like, oh, this isn't anything about Freddy, I mean, or about Jason or anything. But actually, you get over that pretty quickly, and it was... Definitely sort of a precursor to X-Files in the sense that it's a guy who really believes in all this mumbo-jumbo, a redhead that doesn't, and they go around finding cursed objects, and it's very X-Files-ish.
That's what that show is about?
It's cheesy, yeah. The Friday the 13th show was about an old man who owned an antique store who sold his soul to the devil, and each of the objects in there was cursed, so each week they would have to go track down a cursed object, and... And it was X-Files.
So it's an Antiques Roadshow style.
It was Antiques Roadshow with death.
So Antiques Roadshow plus 6 months when all those people are like...
Oh. Yeah, kind of. It was interesting. And then Freddy's Nightmares was a little strange because nobody really knew what it was about. And then you're like,
yeah, oh. I have no idea what Freddy's Nightmares is about.
Well, at first we all thought it was going to be a weekly show of Freddy, and then it turned out it was basically a low-budget Twilight Zone hosted by Freddy Krueger.
Was he actually there?
He was the Crypt Keeper.
But he's hardly even in it, though.
He pops up and he's like... locomotive is... I don't know.
He's the
get on the scary train.
he's the Crypt Keeper of the show.
That's awesome.
It's
awesome for the time period where it's like late 80s cartoonish Freddy Krueger.
They did do a few episodes specifically on him.
At least two or three.
They showed his backstory and how he got killed. And
like, the pilot is good.
I am God!
The pilot is good.
There's a lot of dream demons in it, but cool. There's not.
No, there's not one dream
demon. The pilot's directed by...
We can't back that up.
The pilot's directed by Toby Hooper.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
And it's the story of Freddy getting killed. No, it's the prequel story of Freddy getting killed. And
oh, really?
Cool.
That's cool.
Which is funny because it was, you know, it was actually written and probably directed by Steven Spielberg. So,
poor
Toby Hooper. Poor Toby Hooper. You had such potential, Toby Hooper.
He lost it all, man.
He lost it all.
Just like Alice Cooper.
Oh, man. This one apparently has the highest body count until Jason X.
When he blows up a city. He wasn't like the whole spaceship or whatever.
Well, nevertheless, this one at the time, I believe it was 16 kills.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that died in this one.
They made him add 3 more deaths in. Way more than initially had 13, yeah.
Way more than the 3 of Freddy's Dead.
But that's the cool thing, though, actually, that the director wanted to do it as 13, but Paramount or the producers or whatever were like, no, do it, you know, add some more in there.
Oh, that would have been cool if it was 13.
He did that intentionally, trying to have it be 13.
But the deaths are cool that they added in, though.
Yeah, I think so. Which the yuppie couple with the champagne.
Wait, you mean the guys that don't have any relevance to any other part of that entire movie?
Who were trying to ride off on their motorcycle, yeah.
Okay.
I love that guy, though. Like, he's wearing, like...
What's that he says? Ratatouille.
He's, like, dressed, like, from Miami Vice. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, I kept doing the impression, like, while you were watching it, but he looked like a Christopher Walken guy, and, like, he did. Like, kind of, like, dressed like Christopher Walken.
He looked like one of those Christopher Walken guys.
And he even, like, talked like him a little bit. Like, he did have a little bit of a weird pattern to him, to his speech.
Brett, he had...
You did a great Walken impression. You did a great Walken impression, by the way, Brett.
Oh, come on.
Hey.
Come on, man.
Okay.
Come on.
You guys, let's...
Yeah, I know. And now you're really nailing it home. Like, it made me the asshole.
All right, you guys. Let's do this Halloween magic for real. Let's do
Halloween costumes.
I'm really surprised that Jason really just sank back into that lake over there.
He really did. He didn't even trip over the thing that people, guests, normally trip over.
Yeah, Quentin Tarantino's dead body is what people usually trip over, but Jason actually...
Oh, is that what it is? It's there?
It smells like it.
Well,
smells like old FUBU wear.
Richard, why don't you haven't ventured your hand in here? Why don't you reach in to see who's going to do their costume picks for today?
You don't deserve to feel the pumpkin. Sorry, the pumpkin told me to say that.
Does it feel slimy in there?
I thought that was the pumpkin. Oh,
wow. Hang on. I mean,
our pumpkin has lips!
I mean, seriously, you don't even like vegetable oil or something to put in my hand first? I mean, jeez.
You put on your latex Rambler glove, right?
Oh, no.
This is like that sexy scene in Caligula.
This is like that scene in Claus.
Or Inner Space.
What are we drawing for?
Costume picks.
Costume stuff?
Whoever has to do an impression of Fred Claus.
So the person that has to do the impression of Fred Claus would be...
Whoa.
Ladies and gentlemen... Corey Feldman!
Oh, my God! The Rambler pumpkin is too much!
So where are we supposed to get this Corey Feldman pumpkin?
Hey, they couldn't get him for Jason Part 6. How are we supposed to get him?
Are we drawing him again?
No. Ignore that sound, folks.
Corey Feldman was just a joker. He was just a...
Oh, wait, what
are you guys talking about? What are you guys talking about Corey Feldman?
What are we doing with Corey Feldman? Something
about a costume or something.
Oh, you know what that means, I guess.
What?
If we pulled Corey Feldman out, I guess it means it's time to do this show's... I really want to do costume picks, but Rambler Pumpkin... I'm realizing Rambler Pumpkin's like a crystal ball.
I want to draw from the pumpkin.
Next time, Brett, but he drew Corey Feldman, which means it's time to do who would Corey Feldman have played in the movie.
Oh, you're right.
Besides Tommy.
Can I go first? No, somebody else can go.
I'll go first, and I'll say Jason. He should have been Jason.
Yeah, no, you're spot on.
He would have been like strutting all over the place
with all these hot trashy chicks behind him.
Duh.
Now one of you assholes go. There's plenty of other dudes who'd be perfect.
Plenty of other dudes.
I mean, yeah, they fired Corey Feldman after one day and hired C.J. Graham. He was strutting all over the place like Michael Jackson.
They didn't like the way Corey Feldman moved.
But they did like his moves. They appreciated him.
What's up with you?
Stop singing, Corey Feldman. You're supposed to be silent, Jason.
Yeah, did you see that classic Dizzy Ramblers bit where they just talk to a breathing guy? That's his most...
Classic!
No, I would... if I were to choose somebody for Corey Feldman to play in this movie, I would actually have it be a sweet cameo in the beginning. It would be the friend from the... from the loony bin that
was
he goes
Rorschach?
To.
Oh, you're right!
Oh,
that would be awesome.
That would have been really
What
cool.
if he played that role, like, in this movie for real, and there's just no reason or explanation for him that he wasn't playing Tommy?
That would be the best thing ever.
It really would be. It'd be so confusing. People would be like, oh, it's Tommy. And they're like, oh, wait, I guess it's
Hey,
Tommy,
why are we driving this way? What if he turned and looked at the audience and winked at one point?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, who says that, like, in the movie where they're like, some people got a sick... Oh, the
Carl the Gravedigger. Yeah.
Carl the best character. That's not my answer, but, like,
if you want that to happen, that's a way for that to...
Some people got a sick sense of entertainment.
There was a great character in the movie who broke the fourth wall.
Like, multiple times.
Yeah, and he was an alcoholic gravedigger, but he was awesome, and he got killed... And it was sad, but he was a great character. He was almost like a little bit like Crazy Ralph in the first two. A little remembrance of him.
He was filling up the old man role a little bit.
This camp has a death curse!
He's like, what do they think I am, a fart head? And then this kid's being like, yes! Brilliant. Fart head.
Alright, well, I guess I'm ready to go. I want Corey Feldman to play the dog at the beginning of the movie that was eating the roadkill.
that's brilliant.
But you're like, I guess I'm ready to go.
I think
it's funny how you want to go first and you're going last,
yeah,
Richard.
All those pearls.
I know. Hey, I'm being a gentleman. I think Corey Feldman would have been best as the kid who is asked, "What do you think?" That wry, you know, smart-ass kid underneath the bed. Because how creepy would that be?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if someone like, "What do you think?" And Corey Feldman's like, "I think we're all doomed."
He was like wearing he's like a grown adult. He's like wearing like Spider-Man pajamas.
He's got a cross earring
in.
And the sunglasses. He's got to be wearing the sunglasses. I think that'd be
amazing.
How old would a Corey Feldman would have only been like, 16, 15?
No, still too old to be in there with all those little kids.
Yeah.
What are the movies that Corey Feldman do in 1986? That's my actual question.
Oh, hey, you know better than me. Right?
Did he?
That was 86, 87. So.
Okay.
Look it up on the old interweb. Well, Stand By Me was 86, of course.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. Well, according
to
IMDb.
Really?
Yeah,
okay, I guess I could have played. He could have played that kid.
I guess.
I still want him eating.
It really would have been more fun if he was like 40.
But that's weird. But that could have been. But it was filmed in 85.
Yeah, but still, that's crazy. Man.
I guess like we're just picturing him as an adult now.
Yeah,
like what he looks like now in the role back.
License to Drive wasn't until 88.
Yeah.
I don't know either.
When was Goonies? 85? Wow, so yeah, I guess he could have really.
Hey, that would have been so weird if he was Tommy at like age 15 or 14 or whatever.
Yeah, because how old is Tommy in this movie? He's like 30.
49?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Corey Feldman got swatted the other day.
What does that mean?
Oh.
Like, so him in the face of the fly swatter?
No. There's somebody that calls the police and says...
That thing.
So the police swarmed his house and ended up arresting one...
Confiscated all of his angels.
No, they arrested one of them. She smarted off to him, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So one of the angels?
One of the angels.
Which one was that? I bet it was...
Wait, the angels are there normally?
Yes.
What the fuck?
Yes.
That's the craziest thing. Why would they be there? They just live with
because
him?
He's yeah. Corey Feldman.
And he's got lots of money to throw like chicks that are into shit like that.
How does Corey Feldman have all that money and we have none?
That's what I keep on asking myself.
Yeah, which is a perfect time to advertise. Ask us for sponsors.
Speaking of sponsors, we love to sponsor Black Lodge Video.
Black Lodge Video, baby.
Black Lodge Video for all your video DVD rental needs.
831 South Cooper. It's basically the best Halloween store to go to during Halloween time.
Best video store to go to during Halloween time.
I don't even know what I'm saying because it's such a great place. It's disorienting. You go inside there, it's like you step into another world.
It's like Videodrome. It fucks with your head.
You can definitely find Friday the 13th Part 6, Jason Lives, and other fun movies. I recommend going at all times of year, not just October, but especially during the month of October, the best month of the year.
For those of you living in other countries, such as Africa, Syria, Afghanistan, hop on the nearest plane, come over here to Memphis, Tennessee, and rent a movie at Black Lodge Video.
Uh-huh.
The best damn video store in the world.
Brett.
Yes.
I think we've all gone around.
The pumpkin?
So you were very eager to reach your little paw in there.
Yes, I am.
I hope that pumpkin kicks you in the ass, Brett.
All right. For
I
costumes.
Hope that pumpkin's like the test in Dune, and it hurts his all hand right. so all bad. All right,
everybody, get your costumes ready for the 2013 Halloween. Dan Aykroyd.
Oh! What does that mean?
I don't know. I just applaud when you guys do.
I don't know if the Rambler Pumpkin coughed it up.
Oh my god, there's so many names.
What suggestion does, what does that mean now, John? What do we have to
too
do now?
Too many names. That's a lot of names. Too many, you might say, Brett.
I guess that means we have to plug our Aykroyd Awards coming up at the end of the year. The Aykroyd Awards, where we give
they
awards.
They never end. To, we're always doing Aykroyd.
We give awards to our own podcast and more.
And, you get one right to Brett's Aykroyd.
Richard, Richard, will you be there for that? Do you know about that? The Aykroyd Awards coming up.
No, I only know what you guys tell me, which is not much.
Well, you should be there. We want all our guests to be there because we're going to be giving out awards, including but not limited to best guest.
No, oh, yeah.
Coveted best guest.
Oh, thank God I've got one more of these things so I can start glad handing.
Exactly.
What do you hear, like, what you get if you win, too?
I don't care. I want to win.
The hair of Charlie Metz.
Brett.
I would totally wear that shit.
Oh, yeah.
You kidding me?
So that's one of the great things we have coming up. But, Brett, go ahead and reach your hand back in there. You get to draw. Go ahead.
Oh,
go ahead.
Again.
We just have to do it for, like,
that was like a wild card.
All right. Costumes.
Costumes.
John.
Din 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 din.
Okay, let's edit
it
out.
Yeah, name of the room.
Right, that's the one. No, I'm not going. So, like, let's edit it out, and you can go.
Okay.
Again.
For what kind of horse shit is that?
Halloween, 2013.
You don't have me because I already did it last week.
Brett.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Brett, your costumes, huh?
I'm excited because this is the first name he drew.
All right. I really. I'm eager to tell my Halloween story, so I wish it was that. Oh, but
wanted to cheat again?
No.
Are you ready to go with your Halloween story, Sam? If it inevitably draws your name.
do you want to put my name back in the bucket and play again?
You want to just pull Sam's name?
Balls come out of my mouth. I already did costumes last time.
Sam sealed his fate last week.
All right. Alright, I don't got a lot for you guys as far as costumes go.
I guess that was the problem.
I've got 25.
I've got 2.
Maybe you should just go then.
But what I have for you, I'm going to turn around and put them on because I have them here.
What?
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Okay.
I'm George Zimmerman. Hey, don't prowl around my neighborhood or I'm going to shoot you.
He looks just like him.
Politically charged commentary.
Man, I'm going to hide that Skittles wrapper.
I just beat my wife. It's cool because I'm George Zimmerman.
Wow. All
right.
Man, I could have sworn that was actually the George Zimmerman.
I thought it was. Yeah.
All right.
I thought he was going to rescue a car full of people and lie about it.
All right, I'm going to... take off this mask and
oh, thank God, Brett's back.
Yeah, hey guys.
No, I feel much safer now.
I got one more mask for you guys, and it's this is for the sports fans.
That's none of us.
but the 2013 Super Bowl champion Ray Lewis, who may or may not have murdered somebody about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, that's
who
fun.
Everyone can't shut up about, but seems to forget that. He'll be trick-or-treating around this year.
I feel safe with him in my neighborhood.
With yep. George Zimmerman.
So, yeah, that's my. Those are my 2013
Yeah!
Thank you.
No, it's that's very exciting. And Brad,
American Heroes.
I can't wait till the Rambler Pumpkin inevitably coughs up my name next week for costume picks. And
how can you be so sure?
I don't know.
That's a lot of editing to get that to happen.
But those were offensive, and I think we should give Rambler Pumpkin a rest because of how offensive those were, and go back to talking
Rambler
about
Pumpkin,
the movie.
You were an asshole.
Rambler Pumpkin really gave us a tough draw there. Wow.
Well, I mean, what'd you expect? Rambler Pumpkin's in blackface tonight.
Hey, I'm pulling no punches for the Halloween shows.
No, good. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear.
Gloves are off, baby.
No kids' gloves here.
I'll throw some random trivia at you guys about this movie.
Okay.
Not so much trivia as facts, but it's the first Friday the 13th movie not to come in first the weekend box office in the U.S.
What beat it?
Who cares?
Tootsie Part 2.
But it's still pulled in $19 million
on a budget
on
of $30,000.
On a $3 million budget.
Nice. $3 million. Good job. Hey. $3 million. Well-lit movie.
And is this true? I read it was the first movie to show Jason being shot. Is that correct?
Did he get right?
I feel like it can be,
like,
but then like,
no, that sounds right.
That sounds about right because you don't.
Does he have a bullet
guns.
Hole in his mask from here on out?
No.
Because of it?
You don't typically gun hunting, so I guess that's about right. Mm. I mean, gun camping.
Camping, yeah.
Camping, not hunting. Of course you would. That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah,
If you took a feather duster hunting, that'd be terrible.
So they filmed...
I'm sorry this show isn't sponsored by PETA, Richard, but we still like Americans to go hunting with guns, all right?
Sam, as I'm sure you're aware...
Good old...
I'm sure you're aware, Sam, that they filmed some of the lake scenes in the director's father's backyard in his swimming pool.
In his swimming pool, yes. Mm-hmm.
Did they really?
Yeah.
They did.
Which I think is pretty cool. Like, I
could not tell, so good for him.
Mm-hmm. And the dad was like, he was happy to, even though it, like, damaged something in the pool or whatever.
Got a lot of blood in there, I imagine.
Yeah, he was happy to be like, hey, my pool's in a Hollywood movie.
But was it above ground or below ground?
I don't think the trivia I read specified.
Well, you should do better trivia, John.
I believe it's below ground.
Well,
in ground
is what it's called.
And what Sam believes matters, because he was right about Corey Feldman and the Feld Mansion after all.
That's
fuck
true.
You.
What? I'm not letting that one go.
Fuck you.
I'm not letting that one go.
I don't know what we're even talking about, but
may
I'm okay
God
with
rain
that.
Fire upon your house.
Whoa.
That's a little brutal.
Well, just for that, the director McLaughlin shot three different endings for this movie, Sam.
What were the other ones?
I don't know, something like his mask floated up to the surface.
That would have changed. That would have
been really, why are you such a tease, John? If you're going to tease us with three different innings, tell us what the fucking innings are.
I don't know. Maybe because...
What, I mean, is there no internet you could, like, Google this shit on or something?
The Rambler's internet only has a certain amount of information we can look up.
Tease to edit out that word, Google.
Tease is all our data. Like, we only get a limited amount.
Can we talk to the IT trickster up there and get him to...
Don't stand up!
The trickster's standing up.
I don't understand. That's what you get for hiring him as the IT guy.
Is that a racial thing? Dog, dumbass, Robert Smith.
You don't like dog monster people? Yeah.
You know, this was a year, this was an interesting year because...
2013 or 1986?
86. Because there was no Elm Street movie... Nor any Halloween movie, nor Child's Play. There was no like franchise movie in 86 that I can think of right off.
And this what still year did,
what year did Child's Play come out?
Child's Play was 88.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So it wasn't even a thing yet.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
But what about Puppet Master?
Well, that's interesting, Richard.
Probably 1991, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, I think it was like something around that. I don't think Puppet Master was a thing yet either. And even if it was, like, would we even count it if it came out in 86?
No. However, this is the first year of Hellraiser, is it not? Or is it 87?
That was 87, I believe. So, yeah, that's weird.
Maybe so, they were within a few months of each other, though.
It's very strange.
But yeah, I can't think of any. There really were no...
They weren't making those Saw movies yet, were they?
That's a unique... Yeah,
this
like
the first Madea film.
You know, the 80s
Madea
is notable.
Goes to Camp Blood.
The 80s is notable for just, like, you know, all those slasher sequels, and it's weird that there would be a year that, like, if anything, like, obviously there's not many.
Oh,
like,
I maybe, bet, like, Prom Night 4 was...
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure there was something else, or a couple other things, something like The Burning or something, but, like, I mean,
no,
The
that
Swarm.
Was like 84.
Night of the Creeps.
Night of the Creeps. Oh, yeah, that was 86.
Oh, you're right. 86. You're right.
So there's no, like, franchise.
There's no franchise. There's no franchise. But you did have Night of the Freaks.
Creeps.
Asshole.
What about Night of the Comet? Was that 86?
Actually, that was. That was 86.
So we're bursting our own bubble here.
What about Night of the Snakehead Fish?
Night of the Snakehead Fish was 86.
That was 2000... No, that was 1970.
Richard made that when he was 8.
That was... I can't remember when that was.
18 Tickety-2?
Yeah, that was the first... That was a silent film, really.
Just it was that film that actually showed the four legs of the horse.
It was a cave painting. It was no film. That was a cave painting.
Well, I love that song from it. How does it go, Brett?
How does that go, Brett?
It's so great. In the end of our third episode, Richard, will you play that acoustically?
Yeah, no, I don't know the chords and shit. Can you play it for us?
Hey, next week.
Yeah, because I don't remember the lyrics. I'm sorry.
One of us.
Yeah, next week it'll be your big final farewell before we shoot into the sun. Like,
oh, yeah, me and Freddy are going to hang out. I'll be in the next one.
He's just hanging out, like, laying down. Like,
he's fine. He's already, like, burned.
Oh, I fell over. I fell over again.
Since this is a unique year. This is a unique year for horror movies. This movie's perfect because it is unique in the sense that it has a fucking opening scene. It has, like, a great opening scene in a graveyard. And then, like, the opening credits start, and a little miniature Jason walks out.
Oh, out of Jason's eye.
Out of Jason's eye, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second.
You thought it was ridiculous and you hated it.
No, I thought it was great in a really ridiculous sense. However, it starts off just like a James Bond movie. Mm. Like, that is
Jason
totally...
Jason walks out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of shooting, he slashes.
So... I pictured right after that how cool it would have been of a James Bond type montage of, like, you know, dead bodies floating and arrows going through skulls and, you know, whatever. So, being 1986, let's say they would have done the credit sequence like a James Bond movie. Who would have sung the song, and what would the theme song have been called?
Oh, I wouldn't dare venture to guess. Yeah.
Let's venture to guess.
Good question.
I mean, who was it at that point? Like Duran Duran?
That would have been very likely.
Or
was Freddie Mercury dead yet in '86?
Hey, yeah, if Jason lives, then so can Freddie Mercury.
Yeah. So Queen and Freddie Mercury would have done the song called, I guess,
Jason Lives.
Yeah.
My ideal person would have been David Bowie, though.
David Bowie, which they actually did feature a David Bowie album cover in this movie.
Yeah, you're right. They probably tried to make that happen.
No, he'd be like, Jason lives, and he's out to kill. That'd be awesome.
I think that's good, yeah.
And really, where Bowie was in his career at that point, he actually was kind of at a very low point in his career.
He did Cat People.
And that was before this. That was when he was even more popular.
So David Bowie would have been doing the James Bond theme song to Jason Lives.
But instead we get just white titles over black again, like they do in every single one of these movies?
Meh. Well, you know, it's tradition.
But the Alice Cooper end credit song is more than makes up for it. What is it called, like, Behind the Mask?
He's back.
He's back.
He's out of control.
Yeah.
He's back.
Can you ever get Jason in control?
Behind the mask.
He's back.
You have to pay to sing that on the song, you know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so cut that out. Control. We can't afford it.
Oh,
you with your baby.
You got your baby and your back.
Your baby back, baby back, baby back.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
My bastard quotes are going to be all I do from now on, John.
I think it's awesome. This movie.
Oh no, that
little kid.
I thought I was just doing the shitty Chili's commercial that I hate.
That little kid in the movie kind of looks like a baby. Oh,
What happened? What happened here?
So,
I just think it's cool that this one did take place on Friday the 13th.
It's amazing, yeah.
Very few of them do, and the seventh one does, doesn't it?
No, nobody mentions that, so
I don't think it does.
Part 9 definitely does.
They don't have, like, a calendar, like, with something on it in the seventh
one? That's so arbitrary in these movies, because all they have to do is go, hey, it's Friday the 13th, and we go, oh, it's Friday the 13th! Who cares?
I mean, hey, you gave me a little nudge and a wink.
Yeah, I saw you tearing up when that happened.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this one's on Friday the 13th.
Jason. I was like that.
Yeah.
And they shot him into the sun.
Guys, I have a secret.
You have a secret.
I have a disturbing secret to reveal.
Killer, mommy. Kill.
This, scenes from this one, specifically the beginning and the end scenes, were quite possibly and probably the first scenes I ever saw from a Friday the 13th movie. And this movie is definitely, like, the earliest one that I have a memory of seeing. So, I was holding that secret to myself this whole time, and now I feel like I'm gonna draw the Rambler pumpkin near and hold it to my chest and confess my, I don't know. My trust of you guys with that sacred.
We'll never tell anyone.
No one outside of this room would ever possibly know that, John.
I'll never tell.
No, none of us will.
I'm going to take a Rambler pumpkin oath. I'll never tell.
We'll never tell. None of us in this room will ever tell.
Well, that's a real weight. That's a real weight off. But I couldn't have picked a better movie.
I just texted the drunk bitch.
I couldn't have picked a better movie to see. At the beginning, because, like, this one has so many awesome parts and so many parts that, like, just made me be like, whoa, well, that seems like an interesting series. And I feel like I can live with myself now.
John lives. Also have a secret to confess.
Whoa.
I
saw this in theaters?
No. I have sex exactly like Court in that chicken. Oh, man.
Really, that was interesting. Yeah. That girl was hot, though.
You push her face through an RV.
Sometimes, yeah. I just lay there in muscle shirts while women headbang on top of me. That's what happens.
I love how Cord, I don't know if you guys picked up on it, but Cord in the beginning of that scene is like being like, I need a finish or whatever. Just like, hold on to the end of this song. And he like is just like a premature comer. And so then when the power goes off, she's like, you just jizz all over me, you fucking freak. And he's like,
it was even a song, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
I don't know if I've ever made it through an entire song.
You're picking up that Rambler Pumpkin like it's your best friend.
We're
it's drawing you near your compulsion.
No, I can't. I really can't help
it's like
myself.
The talisman. You're just like, I'm compelled to find it.
I just saw it slowly getting closer to me, like the opening credits of Halloween 1, 2, and 3.
Well.
And then it opened up. There's a skull inside there.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe
you never know. Maybe next week. Maybe we'll watch one of those.
I hope not.
But probably not.
There's no way to find out.
We're doing Leprechaun 6 next week, right?
Richard.
Yes!
I mean, Sam.
Leprechaun in space.
Leprechaun back to the space.
Sam.
Yes, Jonathan.
Why don't you reach your hand in, I think?
What can we be drawing for? Like,
yeah, what can we be drawing for at this point?
We're drawing for who I get to kick in the nuts.
Oh, no. Well, I'm already out, baby.
Damn it!
Oh, Richard!
Damn it!
Will Richard.
Yep, up. Glad I wasn't using these anyway.
Time to get your medicine, Richie.
Time to get your medicine.
You can trade it for a kiss by the trickster.
No, sit down! That was a joke! It was a joke, pumpkin pull, alright? I'm not gonna kick you in the nuts, Richard.
No good.
You made me Does show my hands early, Brett, because I didn't want that fucking dog freak to lick Richard's face. With his pussy lips.
Would that be cunnilingus?
Well, all right, Richard. Okay, I guess it's time to do your spots here.
All right.
The Rambler Pumpkin deemed it necessary.
So it was pumpkin.
So it was pumpkin. So it shall be. So it was pumpkin. So all right, Richard. Anyone who didn't catch last week's show, which I find ridiculous,
I found idiotic.
I find offensive.
Offensive.
Honestly, right. I'm sorry, Richard. I just got distracted thinking about my costume picks of 2013. Tune in next week. you really want to get a load of these. You really want to get a load of these costume picks. But, Richard, back to you.
Back to me.
You wrote the checkout.
Kelsey Grammer, back to you.
You wrote the checkout. It's in storage now.
The checkout. It is in storage right now. It's
this
on Amazon.
This is for real, yeah. Author Richard A. Lester. The checkout. It's in stores at Laurelwood, Poplar and Perkins.
Black Lodge Video.
Black Lodge Video, of course, who we already talked about earlier in the program.
The home of Sleepaway Camp 3.
Amazon, Amazon.com, like always. Those guys are great. You can buy a hard copy of it off there.
Kindle. How much is the Kindle?
You can download a copy for your Kindle.
For your Kindle, you can download my book on Kindle. It's called The Checkout. It's only $2.99.
It's probably like a 200-page book or something?
Yeah, it's over 200 pages.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's fast. It's furious.
It is.
It's like a Vin Diesel vehicle. Sort of really is. Actually, now on Amazon, if you buy the paperback copy, Vin Diesel comes to your house and brings you the Kindle copy for free. So, no, actually, if you buy the paperback copy on Amazon now, you get the Kindle copy for free. So
that's awesome.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
That's a great deal.
So that's a really good deal. So,
you could give it to your friend who has a Kindle if you want like the hard copy.
Yeah.
Yeah, just rob Richard out of a sale as many times.
That's fine.
As
you
can.
I mean, you know, hey. But yeah, so go to Amazon, go to RichardALester.com, click on the Amazon link, and buy a copy of my book in either paperback or Kindle.
Can I give my personal review of your book, Richard?
Please.
Yeah, we've read it, and it's fantastic, but Sam, give your personal testimonial.
A few weeks ago, John gave a review that I kind of have to mirror, because really, when I read The Checkout, I couldn't help but think about another author's first book, Stephen King's first book, Carrie. Because they're both about 200 pages, and I think they're both kind of, like, down and dirty. But I will say this. The Checkout makes Carrie look like such a piece of shit. Like, Carrie is, like, such a garbage piece of writing in terms of, like, what Stephen King would later do and what Richard A. Lester's doing now.
Yeah, thanks for not putting any sound effects in your book, Richard.
Really, I was going to add some bada bings and some zoings, but I thought better of it.
That was
going to be in there, yes.
But no, if you have the chance, if you're looking down the barrel of a Amazon purchase right now, and it's either Carrie on Kindle,
what an offensive way of putting it.
No, if it's just like
who else but the Ramblers?
I need another couple, you know, fucking things on here to get $30 so I can get free shipping. And it's right. Like, you know what? Get a copy of The Checkout over Carrie without a doubt. If you're going to get King, get something else. But
yeah, rent Stephen King from your library. Give them the business. Yeah, go and show those old ladies a thing or two. Give them a hug. Take them out on the town. Buy them an ice cream cone. And buy The Checkout.
Yeah, give
everybody goes home something. Happy.
Yeah, exactly.
The old ladies finally get off after the first time in years.
Stephen King owns 2 radio stations. I think he can fucking handle the hit.
And he directed Maximum Overdrive, which is a fucking terrible film.
Yeah, which we'll watch at some point without a doubt.
I kind of love.
Into what?
I said I kind of love it.
Oh, wow.
I never, I've only seen it once, and...
Yeah, me and Sam both have only seen it once, and... We watched it in the wrong conditions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I like that vending.
Which means you just watched
it. Machine
chewing
down the nuts.
Yeah.
So anyway, The Checkout is better than everything Stephen King's ever written. Tell your friends.
It's just as good though.
Richard, you also have a real indication.
John,
you also have. I got so serious there. You also have a real indication.
which you
have been updating daily, a different horror movie every single day of the month.
In October, we are doing on a reel, that's R-E-E-L, indication.com. It's a movie review blog that all of us kind of occasionally write for. And we are updating every single day in the month of October. We're going through the alphabet and showing you a different crazy Halloween film to watch. And on the weekends, we actually do other little articles too. But 31 posts during the month of October of the most insane shit that you're not going to find reviewed anywhere else. You're not going to hear talked about anywhere else. It's if you're into horror films or into crazy films, if you like us, it's just us on the interwebs writing about stuff, about films that we don't have a chance to talk about here. Mm-hmm. So definitely come by Real Indication, R-E-E-L, indication.com. And
you can find links to it on Facebook also.
Yeah, on Facebook.
You're typing it on your browser is not your bag, baby.
Exactly. There's a page for it on Facebook. Behave. There's all kinds of stuff. We got some crazy films lined up.
My review of Knight Riders is going to make people shit themselves.
I think so. I mean, there's so many different types of films up there. There's stuff from the like the 50s, 60s, 70s all the way up till now. There's a couple of mainstream ones. There's a couple of bizarre ones. I mean, anything you can think of, it's up there. It's for everybody.
Yeah.
Slashers, supernaturals, you know, based on facts.
No, it's fun. How many years have you been doing this again?
This is the second year now that we're doing the Halloween.
I would have guessed 15.
You should have guessed 15, really, because the interweb is that old. But it's something, you know, the blog is now 2 or 3 years old, and this is the second year that we're doing the Halloween thing. So.
Well, I remember it from last year, and it was a lot of fun. At the end of the month, I'll be writing a personal testimonial to the character of Loomis in the Halloween series.
Oh, wow.
You've definitely got to check
really
that out.
I really want to read that.
It's going to be amazing. It's just a fun way to celebrate Halloween. We've changed the background of the page. We've changed some of the logos up there. It's just a fun way. Like,
giving away free hand jobs.
Yeah, if you click enough time. Brett will come to your house, and he will jack you off.
I'm just kidding about the hand jobs, for the record.
It's October. It's Halloween month. We celebrate Halloween 31 days this month. What better way to do it than watching these crazy films?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
Woo!
Woo! Woo! And of course, we don't talk about this often enough on here, actually, but you can find the Dizzy Ramblers on Facebook. You can find the Dizzy Ramblers on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
At Dizzy Ramblers. You can even find, if you look hard enough, you can find T. Rider Smythe the Trickster somewhere, if you look hard enough.
Like, he's an Easter egg out there to find.
Maybe you'll even find more than one.
He's an Easter egg that someone's squatting on.
Someone's squatting on.
Browning with their...
you can find me on Twitter as well.
He's reversing
him out
with his face, pussy.
Yeah. Richard, give your Twitter again.
It's R.A. Lester Author on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I say lots of funny shit.
Richard says lots of funny shit. For real, I was just about to say that. Richard says lots of funny shit. Trickster says lots of funny shit. You can follow Brett at TNBrett. You can follow Sam at SamBear. You can
follow me.
You can follow Asbest Films if that's more your thing. If you
should
don't
follow
like,
Asbest Films.
If you don't like any of us enough to follow us individually, then follow Asbest Films as a unit, and it'll represent what some or all of us believe.
Yeah, do you guys know any of those guys from Asbest? Because those are pretty amazing filmmaker guys.
We have no allegiance or connection to them whatsoever.
Yeah, well.
We'll probably watch their movie at some point and
shit all over it.
Give it a hard time. Richard, since we have you on the spot here, are you going to be, like, on Halloween, are you going to be hanging out with Trickster, doing Trickster's treats, anything like that? Or you got
That's not
else?
Happening!
You got something else cooked up?
Oh, you know, I mean, Trickster's cool and all, but I think I, already, you maybe have had some plans or something.
Hey, the Trickster's standing up.
Richard,
yeah. No, I had stuff to do that day.
I want
to
address. I'm
playing pin the tail on the dumbass dog's Robert Smith thing.
Yeah,
a bunch of
you know,
low IQ morons like tricksters. Do you guys hear that we got a 78-piece orchestra conducted by Quincy Jones for the Pyramid Show?
Whoa.
Because
that's
of the
impressive.
History of the pyramid, Quincy
now
Jones.
Now that's impressive.
Oh, yeah, really, because of the history with the pyramid, Quincy Jones like is taking time out of his very busy schedule, and he'll be conducting some of his hits.
I can't wait.
Including the Austin Powers theme song.
I can't wait.
I heard that right. Trickster's Halloween party is going to have Larry Linville from MASH and Paul Lynde. That should be
really?
Yeah. Huh. Bunch of dead gay guys. Larry All Linville
right.
wasn't gay.
I think I want to... It's time. Brett... Are you ready to put someone in the trail tank?
What the fuck?
Oh, no.
Wait, who could it possibly be if Richard and Jason Voorhees are already taken?
Oh, my God.
I don't even know what we're talking about here.
I think it's time.
Have you ever
I
seen Cruising Richard? Because that's about to happen.
Oh, thank God. I mean, I don't have
You guys hear that?
Oh
it's getting
God.
Spooky
I didn't
in here.
I know what that was.
It's getting
was that
spooky.
A, what was that? Like a...
Well,
it was like a half wolf, half duck.
Okay.
Brett, are you ready to put someone into the trail tank? So the Rambler Pumpkin coughed up a name.
Alright.
Old name called Fred Krueger,
Freddy Krueger. Alright, man. Freddy Krueger's ready to step into the trail tank. Alright. I'm going to keep this short and sweet.
He's back from the sun, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm going to go ahead.
I'm wearing my glasses from part 4.
Oh, okay, well, you know what? I want to give you a big Rambler shame.
I've gloved people for less than that.
Well, why do you not fucking own the whole town that Elm Street is on? I mean, why do you only target teenagers? Like, I mean, the parents are obviously scared of you. Why not fuck with them?
Because they're the only ones sexy enough to believe.
Like, I mean, you killed children. Why not scare the children? They're the easiest to fucking terrify. They'll tell all their friends at school. It'll spread to the house. Like, I mean, you could own the fucking world in a matter of years.
I towel whipped that one coach to death on his behind.
All right, yeah, that was pretty good. All right, well, you know what? I think that's about all I really got for you. So,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Why are you only in Springwood?
Yeah.
Because there's an invisible wall around the entire place. I have to travel through someone's mind to get out of it.
Saying it's traveling time.
Yeah, didn't you guys pay attention at all last night? I have to use the ancient words that the dream people gave me. It's traveling time! Woo! Oh my God. Freddy Krueger just went inside Brett's head.
Oh God. Oh God.
Brett, do you feel anything, or is he just in there now?
No, it just kind of tickles.
Okay. That's cute, I guess. A little life plus.
You know, this is the only podcast I've ever seen where people go inside other people. I mean, besides, like...
On a regular basis, too, yeah.
Yeah, on a regular basis. I mean...
This well, is hopefully someday you, like, burp them out or something like that. You have some Faygo.
And... probably just fart them out. Oh!
There's gonna be so much sewage in Freddy Krueger's dreams. Yeah.
Throw up.
So does this mean that you're Freddy's long lost daughter? If you went inside your girl brain?
What?
No, it just means he's a homeless orphan.
Oh, okay.
I guess I'm just worried I'm gonna start turning into the Trickster or something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure actually Freddy Krueger plus Brett does equal the Trickster.
So guys, we've had Freddy Krueger and we've had Jason Voorhees. Mm-hmm. Who's scarier? Every year we like to compare. So who's scarier? Freddy's dead's Freddy Krueger, or Jason lives? Jason Voorhees.
Jason Elias Voorhees.
So, yeah. In this one, I think it's fairly obvious that Jason is the scarier.
Yeah, I think they they definitely make him actually kind of creepy, too. I feel like they do a good... Like, just I just love the parts with him before he has his mask on, and he's just, like, this completely, you know, rotten out corpse standing in
front
of him.
He's a universal monster, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool they take advantage of that here.
I can't wait till we compare Michael Myers next week with Jason Voorhees and see who goes for what.
Because they are very, very similar types of things, yes.
I'm very limited to my Halloween experience.
Brett, I'm going to punch you in the face.
So I'm looking forward to this because I've seen the first two and then I've seen the two remakes.
So you've never seen the sixth one?
No.
Well, it's
no, actually, I saw the one with Busta Rhymes in the theater.
That's not the sixth one.
Yeah.
It's the sixth one.
I saw that in theaters, too. Maybe it was the same theater.
I think that's really my favorite.
In Manchester, Connecticut?
No.
Okay,
the sixth Halloween, Brett, is unbelievably bad, but it's also one that's really grown on me and Sam and Richard throughout the years, and we kind of like it now in a weird way. So, guys, I have one final piece of trivia about Jason Lives. Yeah. Sam, are you aware of the one version of the script had Jason's father, Elias Voorhees, in it? And that we made some jokes in the movie about, like, Jason Voorhees had a grave, and it was a marked grave, and it was like, why would this town bury this killer like this? And in the version of the script, it was, like, actually his father who paid for him to be buried. And I guess, like, at the end of the movie, he showed up at, like, his grave again or something, and, like, it was, like, a lead into the sequel where, like, Elias Voorhees was going to come into play and have a backstory.
Was he going to be the Man in Black?
Basically, Halloween series is Man in Black.
No, I really do. I did know about that, and I really do wish they did that because that would have been awesome. Because like me and my brother, my best friend, when we watched this when we were kids, always speculated about who Jason's father was.
Yeah, it would have been interesting because you always talked about it maybe being Crazy Ralph.
Yeah, but... I mean, I loved it. I mean, in my mind, it basically was Crazy Ralph. Like one night, he just like banged Mrs. Voorhees when she was in the town, and they were both like drunk or something like that, and then Jason was his son.
What do you think about that, Richard?
I think that's pretty good. I think the whole thing that made Mrs. Voorhees crazy was the fact that she was knocked up as a young woman, and then her kid was born with deficiencies, and then he drowned, and it just that was all enough to push her crazy, and her baby daddy left her.
I mean, I think it drove him crazy too. That's why he's Crazy Ralph.
Yeah, I think that's very good. I think.
Would you say that the drunk gravedigger Omar, whatever his name is in this one, is the father possibly?
He doesn't seem to have very much interest in Jason Voorhees, so I don't know.
He's like the damn kid digging up that grave.
He does sing it like Leanne Redbone.
I think he's just the lovable lush. But I do like the fact that he names his liquor bottles.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Whiskey, he does. So, he names every individual liquor bottle.
Which I'm going to start doing. So tonight, I believe, I have had...
You're naming your can?
I think so. So I just drank, I don't know, Elizabeth. And then after that, I drank Anastasia. And then after that, I think I drank, I don't know, Bianca. So there we go.
Yeah, and earlier I burned a bowl named Dominique.
There we go.
So, yeah.
I think it's pretty awesome that he's talking to his glass, and he's like, "You'll be the death of me," and then he gets killed by it like 3 seconds later when he gets like that thing.
That's very coincidental. That's amazing that they came up with that.
I mean, I think Jason was just saying they'd be like, "Ooh, this will be a good chance."
he was waiting for it.
You have to wonder.
Coming up with a machete after that.
You do have to wonder if Jason stands around waiting for people to have like one liner.
He's like, "Here it is."
He's like, "That's my time."
I can't.
Now's the time to shine. Jason's on.
He's a very busy guy. Like he's got to be in everywhere at the right time.
He's in good shape.
That's the cool thing about this movie, I think, is that they're like, unlike most of these movies where I think he's just kind of all over the place and it's sort of crazy, this one actually is kind of...
It has a logical time.
Like, yeah, he's going from the cemetery all the way to the camp, which is like several miles away, and so it's just him like walking through all these different areas of woods where he meets just like different random people.
That's something I like about this one. It doesn't have like plot holes kind of like the others do where you just have to kind of be like, oh, whatever, fun 80s Friday movie. This one is actually, I feel like...
Except for the lightning bolt that resurrects a corpse?
That was pretty rad, though.
Seamless. Yeah. Seamless. Yeah. It's awesome.
James Whale can do it.
It was
why
like
not?
Friday the 13th. There was like spooky, like, ghosty...
Wait, hang on. Let me...
Demons
were involved. Let me look. I'm looking at my biology book from 10th grade.
Right.
No. Actually, according to page 198 of Graham's Biology 4th edition, that was scientifically possible.
C.J. Graham wrote it in there himself.
Yeah, there we go.
So there we go. We have established scientifically, if you put a lightning rod in a corpse's body and it gets struck by lightning, it will resurrect and kill everybody in camp.
And that's why Friday the 13th Part 6 is one of the best Friday movies and is a great time.
It's based on scientific fact.
Yeah, we love it. Everyone loves it. We all love it. The whole world loves Jason Lives.
I think, yeah.
We love tiny Jason walking out of big Jason's eye, slicing his way through the screen. With James Bond style. With
the David Bowie, James Bond
Jason
song.
Is like martinis, shaking on stirred. Elias Voorhees is like Jason naming his Lounge. Liquor bottles. Exactly.
Murdering the world.
But honestly, I didn't watch Friday until later on, as I've said many times before.
A very important part of your life story.
I really thought you were going to reveal that you had, like, masturbated to that court sex scene. And that's what it was going to be. And then I was going to be like, well, haven't we all?
Even though I didn't watch the Friday the 13th series till later on in my life.
I have masturbated the court scene quite a bit.
It has become a staple of the Halloween season for me. And it wouldn't be it wouldn't be Halloween Dizzy Ramblers Month without it. Just like it wouldn't be Halloween Dizzy Ramblers Month if we didn't do stupid things like naming our favorite Halloween costumes from our childhood or past lives or whatever. And I guess I'll go first. Mine's an easy one. Mm. I'd have to go for 2008's Joker, Heath Ledger Joker costumes I did.
Shocking.
I know, shocking, right?
I was not prepared for this one.
Wow.
Really?
We were doing childhood costumes.
Yeah, last time it was favorite candy, and this one is favorite costumes.
Damn, like,
take your time, Brett. Take your time.
No. I am shit. Do we have anything else that it can be, like, that we can do? Like,
well, hold on, Brett.
Wasn't there, like, favorite memory?
All right.
That's what I was prepared for.
We're going to end up on that next week.
That's next week.
Oh, shit. Well,
I'll give you some time, Brett. I'll reach in the Rambler Pumpkin one last time myself. And,
what's this for?
For what?
For buying time.
Just reaching in for buying time.
Michael Myers. So Michael Myers, buy us some time.
I shot him six times.
I shot him six times.
Study him, Loomis.
I was with him for 15 years. My impression's not as good as the actual Loomis who will be here
next week.
We just gotta take it. We just gotta go to England and grab one of them lightning rods and shove it through
Donald's grave. How horrible. What a horrifying thought.
I'll get on that. So I get the plane tickets.
Yeah, the next episode will be The Ramblers in London.
The Ramblers in London.
A jolly old time.
Yeah, you thought the pyramid was going to be cool. We're fucking London next week.
Yeah. We're riding in umbrellas.
Brett, I have to compliment your song. I have to compliment your song earlier, though, Brett.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
great song.
Great song. You were entertaining everyone today with that.
I am good to go.
Well, okay, so 2008, Heath Ledger, my Joker costume. I had a lot of fun costumes, but that one I really went all out and spent over $200 on it because I wanted it to be all original material and not like actual costume parts, and it looked great, if I do say so myself. Had actual prosthetic scars and makeup on top of it. Did three different parties, three different days. It was exhausting, but it was a lot of fun, and that was like a great time, I remember. But that was probably my favorite costume when I think about it, just off the blue. But I had a lot of great costumes.
Hey, can me and you high five right now? Because I was the same thing that you, motherfucker.
Yeah.
We went to Zach and Miri make a porno with you having green hair because of that the day after Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People were like looking at me like, what's up? And I was like, it's Halloween, bitch.
it was like I was walking around with Britney Spears. He was just like, it's Halloween, bitch. Same costume, though. Whoa.
Sam, what do you think? What do you think about your
costume? What was your favorite costume, Sam?
I'd say, there's a couple great costumes I can think of in my life. When I was Doc from the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, when I was about 5 years old or 4 years old. But the one that's my favorite, you guys, is the one I'm the most proud of, was when I was Alex DeLarge from Clockwork Orange in high school. And I went, I just went all out, got the hat, got all, like, white, had, like, white suspenders made, had, like, a cup that looked like a codpiece. And got the eyelashes in there and stuff, and some boots that I ended up borrowing from Drew, and they got ruined.
Drew Wolfman Smith has been on the pod.
Where's this Drew? I've heard Drew mentioned on DVDs, on podcasts.
He's nothing but a memory now.
He's gone.
I'll be on again within the next year.
In a long remembered dream, in a long forgotten. What's that? That's an inception. A long forgotten dream is when Joel.
I'm scared to go to sleep because Drew's always just like waiting for me when I get there.
It's like, duh.
He's just like standing there, like tapping his toes.
Wearing that white suit with a red shirt.
Yeah,
he's like,
that's the only shirt the only suit he ever wears.
Drew's like, scary. Yeah. What's Drew like? Hey, Brett.
No, he just, like, chases me around with, like, crab claws for hands.
Wow. Well, Sam, that is a great, it's a great costume.
No, it was awesome. Like, I was very happy to wear that to school for the whole day, my senior year of high school. And I'm in the yearbook. It's kind of a small picture, but I'm very happy that that costume lives on. I wish I did that more than 1 year.
Did I ever tell you I was Luke Skywalker 1 year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No one knew who I was.
Shout out to Amy Kaiser Bear for helping me make that costume.
Great job. Brad or Richard, I don't know who should go next, but please.
I don't remember how old I was. I was probably 11. But Mortal Kombat was a hit video game at the time. And I saw something at Kmart where it was just like some sort of skull thing that like covers your face and you can like cut it up however you want. And so I just got a hold of a Taekwondo outfit and fucking cut out like the side chunk of my face and like was Kano for Halloween. It was
nice.
It was hip, it was cool, and it was you know, totally like just like, you know, originally whipped up at a pretty early age. And yeah, I don't think anybody knew who I was, but I was spot on.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, Richard,
I will clap for myself.
You should.
Richard, we mentioned it to you earlier, and you were like, I never went trick or treating as a child.
Oh, I went trick or treating all the time as a child.
You seem to have a sense of you didn't have an outstanding memory of a costume.
Well, most of the time for Halloween, I actually used to dress up as Jason Voorhees a lot.
Really?
I had lots of I had hockey masks and had some overalls that I would wear. So I did that a lot, but I think actually one of my favorite costumes that I did was last year. Actually, I went as Beetlejuice.
Oh, nice! Wow,
I had the face paint, I had the wig, I had the crazy costume, which I had wore the previous year as Gomez Adams.
Wow! I remember those pics. Really cool. I saw that.
Yeah. So yeah, last year I went as Beetlejuice.
Sweet.
Beetlejuice.
We should put pictures of us if they're already.
When are we gonna watch Beetlejuice Goes Hawaii?
Yeah.
Tim Burton's sellout ass makes it.
Wes Craven's masterpiece. Did you know Wes Craven, Richard, was gonna do Beetlejuice Goes Hawaii at one point?
That's probably for the best. That's not a project that needed to come to light, really.
Hmm. No, I want to see him go Hawaiian.
I want to see Beetlejuice go Hawaiian, Richard.
That sounds exactly like Christmas Vacation Part 2, Cousin Eddie's Island
Adventure.
It was his birthday today. He looks frightening.
Cousin Eddie?
Yeah.
It was his birthday years ago. I mean, it was his birthday a few weeks ago.
He has one.
October the 1st, I believe the day was.
Yeah, he looked like a freak when I saw him online.
63.
He doesn't look a day over
85.
Yeah.
He's like Santa. Where is he now? Like Canada, hiding down in a bear cave somewhere? He's like Luke Skywalker, hanging upside down from the...
No, he is hiding from the... You know that Randy Quaid's hiding from the
Hollywood
Illuminati.
Oh, really? That's cool. Like, he's always hiding out from somebody, it seems.
Yeah, he's kind of crazy.
Lorne Michaels or someone.
Yeah, like, I wasn't surprised to hear that sentence start off like that, but I was pleasantly surprised to hear he was hiding from.
Would you say you were titillated?
I was. I was literally lactating.
Oh, yeah, I thought I smelled something.
Yes, you did.
Goat cheese.
Me.
Or the Puppet Master.
Goat cheese for the Puppet Master. I love that song.
That's a good one.
Bring goat cheese for the Puppet Master.
We should probably just do this for like another hour and a half.
Well, guys, I couldn't have asked for a better round of costume picks for ourselves. Like,
yes, amazing costumes.
We're amazing. We're amazing.
We're terrific.
We're the best.
You know what? Like an honorable mention. I feel like I was the Scream guy before the Scream
Ghostface.
Yeah, before that was that was another one. Like I'll give another big shout out to Kmart.
This week we did that. Last week we did candy. Next week we'll be topping it off with our personal favorite, our favorite Halloween memory. More about ourselves. We love it. We can't get enough.
Us.
Me.
Love Ramblers. Us, America.
Ramblers, all the way. Ramblers forever.
Demented forever. Oh, you gotta pay for that, sorry.
I can't wait to talk about more about our lives and what we've done. But,
yes.
What's more important is that it's scientifically accurate that Jason lives.
It is scientifically accurate.
He lives forever.
Google it, it's on the interweb.
They could freeze him, they could put him in space, they could bring him down to hell, but... Jason still lives.
Well, we probably should have started it at the beginning of the show instead of the end. But I guess it's time to spook ourselves out.
Yeah.
And Sammy, I guess you should draw your own fate. You should.
I really hope I pull.
What are we doing? What are we pulling for?
A scary story.
Oh, really?
Corey Haim, Saved by the
Bell. Oh, wow.
Corey Haim.
What's their Corey Haim segment?
Do we need to do a seance to get him?
That's what I was going to say, Richard. I think this is your seance segment. The Rambler Pumpkin issued it forth.
We should do a seance. It's Halloween.
Almost.
It's always Halloween.
It's Friday the 13th.
You're right. It is always Halloween for us.
It's always Friday the 13th, too.
All right. So what do we do, Richard? We join hands or nipples or what?
We join hands and we do an alm, and Corey Haim will be here.
Wow. Okay.
That's what's going to happen.
Can I have Skittles in my mouth while we're doing this?
Yeah.
Do you have more Skittles?
Corey Haim. Let's get Corey Haim here.
Corey Haim.
Corey Haim.
All right, everybody. We're going to go alm. Corey Haim, actor of the 80s, second of the two Coreys, here in the afterlife, please join the Dizzy Ramblers as we celebrate this Friday the 13th, Jason Lives. We have drawn your name from the Dizzy Ramblers pumpkin. Please join us here and tell us a spooky story.
I wonder if this will work without that candle being lit.
That's what I'm afraid of, honestly.
Yeah, well, let's concentrate. Believe.
Corey Haim,
Corey Haim.
We're not getting Corey.
We're not getting Corey, guys.
We can't finish the lyrics.
The reception is not coming in. I'm starting to get seasick.
Wait. Hang on. Wait, I'm getting something.
I'm getting something.
The party you are trying to reach is not available. Please try again later.
That's sad.
Hey, at least we got some sort of contact.
Good for us
on this spooky Halloween night.
Sam, are there even any names left in there?
Maybe next week we can get a Corey Haim.
I'm looking into it right now, John. There's not a single name left in there.
Not a single name left in there.
Nope.
Well, maybe it's like the Goblet of Fire, and I'll cough one more back up.
I'll stick my hand in there blindly, and let's see.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure we're not going to find any.
No, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Dennis Miller, anybody?
Yeah, yeah.
Ever seen that movie Bordello of Blood?
There you go.
Oh, man.
Corey Feldman.
Yeah, we're gonna pile on that, right?
Oh, wait. It turns out I've got a text message here from the afterlife, Corey Haim said he's too busy with his own angels.
Oh,
good for him.
Wow, that's both cool and sad.
It all worked out. Was that from a northern or southern area code?
Hard to tell, really. It just comes in as a bunch of jumbles.
So it's space garbage?
Space garbage, yes.
Well, I don't
know. Let's not kid ourselves. He's in limbo.
He's watching us right now.
Yeah, he is.
I don't feel anything in this pumpkin, John, so I think we gotta call it a Rambler good. Oh, god damn it!
There was one left in there.
I didn't see it or feel it for a while, but it's Sam.
It's your time.
It's your time.
Oh, it's my time. I'm gonna cut foot loose.
Tonight is your night, bro.
It is your night tonight. John, are you gonna serenade me? Are you gonna marinade me? Because I got a plump goose to cook for you guys tonight.
Are you going to top my Humans Can Lick 2 story from last week?
Yes.
Top that.
Basically, I'm placing the Rumler pumpkin.
The Rumpan.
The Rumly Tumly. The Rumly Tumly pumpkin.
The Rumler pumpkin.
How dare. No, that's sacrilege. You're right. The Rambler pumpkin back in front of you.
Man. I'm having heart palpitations. Give me a second while I chew this Skittle.
Light a candle and put it inside the pumpkin.
Let's burn this mother down.
I'm just kidding. You're never gonna get that candle lit.
It's never gonna happen.
Never.
So tell us a scary story. Scare us.
Well, this whole time since I knew that I'd be the one doing the scary story tonight, I've been really worried and I haven't been able to think of anything. So I kind of just want to tell you guys something that's been happening in my real life. Because, I don't know. I would have loved to find something that kind of tickled me, but there's really nothing out there that I saw. So, it's just that there's been a lot of weird coincidences recently in my life. A lot of strange kind of occurrences, I guess. The other night after you guys left when we were doing the Nightmare on Elm Street podcast, and you guys are going to think this is funny, but I really could swear I heard just someone walking around back out there, like pacing back and forth, you know?
What? Mm-hmm. Whoa.
It wasn't the trickster, was it?
No, the trickster was all cuddled up in the cat carrier. He sleeps in. The door was shut from the outside, and his dumb ass can't figure his way out. So, It couldn't have possibly been him.
Good.
It was, honestly, I don't know.
Did you hear scratching?
No, I mean, see, that's I wanted to open with the feet thing, or the fact that there's one walking, just because I didn't think you guys would believe.
Was the door locked?
No, I locked it. Oh, well, I mean, that yeah. side door, you know, that was, yeah, everything was all locked up.
Yeah.
But, no, that's the thing, I feel like,
Was it Charlie Metz?
With his long, sexy hair.
It'll someday be all of ours.
He was like a little Fabio.
Yeah, and Charlie has the hair of a Klingon.
He really does. Kapla.
I don't think that's unintentional, you guys. I mean, that was one thing, you know, and I locked my doors, and that night I just, like, really kind of turned off all the lights and just sort of hid out. I have a machete in here that I slept next to because it's a really sharp machete, and I feel like as long as someone doesn't have a gun, I'd be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I was freaked out. I didn't see anyone out there, but I definitely heard something. The
maybe it was a cat or a coyote.
I mean, it's, it could have been a stray.
Chupacabra.
A stray mountain lion from up on the prairie.
I don't think it was.
I see that machete hanging out, too. Mm-hmm. So I believe you. That's scary.
But no, that's not the whole thing. See, I found out recently something about this house. This is a pretty old house, if you guys don't know. It's I mean, it's actually got a basement, which is a weird thing about a house in Memphis.
Yeah.
And the house itself is from about, like, the early 1900s, pretty much. I think before the teens or the very start of the teens. And I just found out this very disturbing story recently about this whole family that was killed down in my basement. We're back in, like, the 1920s, and when times were really tough down here, there was a kind of fever going around. A lot of people were getting sick, and so they there was kind of, like, basically a mass grave down there. The fucked up thing is, the next morning after I heard those footsteps and stuff, and after I'd already started thinking about what the story could possibly be, I looked out this window right here, the one we're at, that just looks out into the street.
Is this the Wes Craven story?
Not this window.
There were just two, like, handprints on the window.
What? Oh, really?
Like, as if someone was just staring in there.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, this is all just a spooky story that happened.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I was about to say,
if you would have said, watered up a little bit, Sam. Congratulations.
Because I put my ass cheeks on those windows before I left, but I was like, oh.
Someone came to just smell those.
Oh, they do have me.
Sweet. Yeah, none of that stuff's true. This is an old house, but as far as I know, no one died here besides for.
I wasn't sure about that aspect, but the whole hearing somebody and seeing the handprints,
Well, the reason I believe you was because coincidences and creepy stuff does rule our life, me and Sam especially, and your house in Connecticut does have, like, history like that, so I was like, wow, you really are an attractor for it. I had Dan Aykroyd on the speed dial, ready to call him up, talk about this.
But I'm going to wait until we get to a Dan Aykroyd episode for me to talk about my haunted house.
Yeah, I don't want you to reveal about your haunted house until the time is right.
We're gonna have
the Skittle is the right color.
For the next Dan Aykroyd year, the next year in our Dan Aykroyd calendar, we're gonna be having some extra actual paranormal tapes come in with someone who had a paranormal experience in the audio from that experience.
Are we?
Some white noise and some actual voices.
Is that true?
Yes, that's very true.
Oh, okay, cool.
So for when we do some sort of Dan Aykroyd movie about ghosts, whatever that could possibly be.
On a very special episode of The Dizzy Ramblers.
It'll be our X-Files episode.
We haven't even finished Aykroyd Season 2, and we're still talking about Aykroyd Season 3, baby. That's how good we are. We got that much planned. That much
so
of our
much
sleeve.
So much Aykroyd!
Got some sore Aykroyds right now.
Wow. Well, good job, Sam. Good job, Brett. Good job, everyone.
Yeah.
Good job, Jason Voorhees.
Good job, Jason Voorhees.
Congrats.
Who we did not launch into the sun.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
No, Jason, don't touch that. Oh, the humanity.
he just launched himself into a blimp and blew up.
Why can he take the trickster with him when he does this?
No. We're not taking you anywhere, trickster.
Sit down.
Yeah.
He had that ice cream look on his face where he was just like, I'm getting ice cream?
He looks at me kind of strangely sometimes.
He was licking those pussy lips he calls a mouth.
I feel a little strange.
No, he's a creepy character to have to face down.
His face is like that movie Teeth.
Oh, man, yeah, I watched that movie Teeth on a date once.
That's probably the wrong time to watch that.
Could be.
Where you're like, hey, can I check you for teeth, bitch?
Man, you can read me like a book.
Well, so it was written, so it should be.
You can read me like Court in Friday the 13th, Part 6.
Who was he reading?
I don't know.
Court's never read a book
in his
life.
He was just the coolest character ever in anything.
Who was that cool fat guy who had the sweet van in what, some movie that
wasn't it like Arnie in Prom Night?
Yeah. No, that was a hell of a character.
That was a great character.
That was the best character of all time.
Of all time.
Yeah, like, I mean, Indiana Jones, Take a Hike. Like, Han Solo, get out of here, Blade Runner, kick it to the core.
President from
Air Force One. Take a hot air balloon out of this town and into the next one.
So basically you're saying...
Catch a flight with the pilot from 6 days and 7 nights.
So basically you're saying every great character has been played by Harrison Ford.
No, the greatest of all was played by whatever Brett was talking about earlier.
Well...
Arnie!
Oh yeah, Arnie, yeah.
I think we really did Friday the 13th a solid... And, talked up a good thing about the franchise, a good movie. We picked a good pick, and we have a lot to go. A lot left to talk about.
It's amazing how much more we have to go. I can see Richard just looking back to that promise he made to the Rainbow Pumpkin. God damn it.
God, I hope I get a car wreck going on.
It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting next week because...
There's a Monkey Shines type thing, and all you can do is this podcast.
Oh, God.
Well, there's a lot of special things about next week.
Experiment in fear.
Let's give our listeners a little taste of what to expect next week. We'll be wrapping up.
I think we've told them. I think we've done next week's podcast. Let's just go.
We'll be wrapping up.
Split this in two.
We'll be wrapping up Richard's time with the Ramblers. The Rambler Pumpkin, if it deems me worthy, will allow me to give you the great costume picks of 2013.
I'm sure that it will.
If fate has it. I believe Brett or Sam will be telling a scary story. You might have to
pretty
be
sure
Sam
it's
again.
I'm pretty sure it's not Sam.
Might have to be Sam again. And Trickster will probably have a few things to say. Loomis will probably have a few things to say. We might even, we might have a story or two about Halloween spread around, some Halloween cheer, get you ready for the big day itself. We'll probably have some other festivities up our sleeves, but until then, I guess, let's do this final ramble thing. I'm ready to dive into it.
Yeah, the Fridays are always my favorite out of all the horror franchises, and one of my favorite things is definitely just to get together with some friends and watch one of the Friday the 13th movies, so... It was a very fun time, and it's what Halloween is all about.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more.
I applaud you guys.
I applaud you guys.
I applaud you applauding us.
I was always more of a Freddy man, but you know what? The Friday the 13th they struck a chord with me as well. Mm. And this was a fun experience, you know. At least we weren't watching, like, you know, the one where he goes to Vancouver or Manhattan or whatever. So,
fuck you, Richard. We will.
So here we go. I'm happy to have watched Jason Lives with you guys.
Well, I guess I always appreciated Freddy more as a kid, but looking back, I really loved on Friday the 13th watching whatever fucking Friday the 13th movie was on cable, and I never really watched them like unedited until I was an adult. So I really appreciated them a lot more watching them without, you know, commercial breaks or Gilbert Gottfried talking about USA up all night.
But, don't watch them on AMC, because I did that last year and they cut out all the good stuff.
Mm. And by the way, I do like Gilbert Gottfried and the show in general, but the movies are better without that. As somebody who is always a Freddy fan, Jason may have charmed his way into my heart.
No.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Like, I wasn't raised on Friday and I wasn't a fan really at first. I was a Halloween guy, but definitely Sam being a fan and just like watching them more got me into them more, and like I think they're fun movies to watch, especially with people, like Sam said, especially fun to put on and have a good time and make fun of, and even have good ones like Jason Lives, which are a great feature films. Mm-hmm. Fantastic film.
Topaz.
Maybe. Anyway, I love it. I love Friday the 13th, the series as a whole. Not as much as Elm Street or Halloween, but I still enjoy watching.
I love them very third tier, but they're wonderful.
They're my absolute favorite.
They're good.
I love you all. I'm glad everyone was on the show. I'm glad Richard was here. I'm glad T was here. I'm glad Brett was here. I'm glad us and I'm glad Jason Voorhees stopped by. Like, congrats.
That was nice. That was good.
Congrats to Jason Voorhees on his run of success. Can't wait to see him in Friday the 13th Part 2 in 3D or whatever the fuck.
I just heard a rumor today that they might try to do it as a found footage movie. Really?
Yeah. Wait, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
The next Friday movie, doing it as if it was a found footage movie.
That's weird.
Well, yeah. Let's save that for the for that podcast in 2027. Can't wait to hear our thoughts on that. We'll 2027.
We'll be podcasting from our hovercraft.
Yeah. Actually, let's be in our, we'll be in our hover rounds.
George Jetson.
Hover round.
That's how we start off every episode. And we were finally sponsored by like whatever like local Chinese restaurant. Like we could have like agreed to like pay us like.
You want to watch a scary movie? Listen to the Dizzy Rambler.
Yeah. Well, Richard, I'm already scared. I'm already afraid. I'm already afraid of your time.
You know, hold on a second. One second. Okay. Did you know that John's family's favorite Chinese restaurant is Wang Garden? That's where they always go.
I had no idea.
Is that true?
There was Wang Garden? That's the one you always go to, right?
Is that the one that's by that Kroger there?
Yeah. The one
Wang
one
Garden.
The man, like, is it a buffet?
No.
Okay. No, mm-hmm. Like, my favorites are the just the I can eat myself stupid buffets.
I love that one on summer. That Panda Garden, I feel like, is the best Chinese food I've ever had.
Yeah, no, you really get so much good. Food,
too. I'm all about the new Hunan over at, on Park and Mendenhall, the Eastgate Shopping Center.
Number one Chinese kitchen buffet on Get Well.
Sorry, that was actually my natural body reaction.
I also love the one, I can't remember what street it's on, but it's called Tasty Wang. It's good.
Dizzy Ramblers!
No.
Richard A. Lester, ladies and gentlemen.
Richard, I'm already sad at the thought that week two is coming to an end, and we have 1 week left with you.
Next week, we will be hearing Night of the Naked Fish, though, correct?
Oh, yeah. Are you going to play for us next week?
I'll play for it, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that.
That is something to look forward to. Yeah, that is something to look forward to, actually.
Got to learn how to play that song again.
Well, on that note, I mean, Freddy himself couldn't say it's traveling time better.
He can. He's stuck inside Brett's brain.
It's true.
It's traveling time! Woo!
Yeah, it's traveling time.
It's traveling time.
Didn't I already say it? It's traveling time?
You didn't say it.
You didn't say it, fucker!
Hey, it's traveling time!
It's traveling time!
Someday I'll get this candle lit, Richard. We'll see who's having the last laugh. Yes.
All right, please don't leave that in.
Hard candle lit.
I can't get the
official Rambler.
Yeah, the Rambler hard candle light.
I don't know what that says about us and about this show and about this podcast.
It's because it's all about the love.
Then why won't it work?
Because it's the scary
maybe because you're
Halloween.
Lighting with a skull lighter. Maybe it needs a gentler touch.
Yeah.
Did you get it?
No.
Do you need a?
I don't know how to light candles.
Man's touch.
It needs a man's touch, you could say.
Well, I mean, the wick is like pretty. I mean, non-existent.
That's right.
Well, work with what God gave me, okay, John? Damn.